ready for two guys who can handle the truth.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
But we can. Dave Palumbo.
Chris Aceto.
RxMuscle.com presents Heavy Muscle Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Heavy Muscle Radio. I'm Dave Palumbo, and I'm joined, as always, by Chris, the technician, Aceto. It is April 23rd, 2012, and we just got through with the FIBO Power and NPC Emerald Cup 30th anniversary weekend, as well as several other shows we were covering on RX Muscle. Chris, do you realize that we've covered, like something like 30 shows already this year? I don't know if people realize the extent of the contest coverage that RX Muscle does.
Yeah, it's crazy. We're not into the... We're still in the first quarter of the year.
Yeah, I think we covered more. I think like 40 shows.
Not 30 shows. More than 30 shows.
I think it's been 40
shows. Last weekend was 5.
Yeah, every weekend.
This weekend was how many? I can't count past 3.
I don't even know. I know we have at least 3 or 4, but you know, every weekend we've been cranking in like 4 to 5 shows, so... I think we're going to...
We are number one worldwide contest coverage.
Not only do we cover the FIBO Power Show, which is the pro show, the men's pro division, yeah. We covered the German amateur shows that were there as well. So we're going to have pictures from those up, too. So I don't think anyone does that, Chris. We definitely have a very good European coverage contingency there.
So, yeah.
I like it. Well, what did you think of Johnny Jackson, who wins the FIBO Power? Very good political, or I should say, very good strategic move on Johnny Jackson's
strategy.
Part.
Well, it was a good, you know, it's not the best Johnny Jackson that he's ever been, that's for sure. I mean, he looked good enough to win, but, you know, he got the win. And the fact of the matter is, one, you need to win to qualify for the Mr. Olympia. And two, you know, a win is a win. It's prestige. I'm sure he's excited about it. You know,
is it the old New York Lottery slogan? You got to be in it to win it. Is that really applied here?
You know what? You got to be in it to win it. And I mean, how many times have we said on this show? You know, on paper it sounds easy to do a lot of shows, but you know, anyone gets burnt out. It's hard to do multiple shows, but. This would have been, like I said before the radio started, the show started tonight, I said, you know what, I never tell people to do shows, ever. I've never told anyone, do this show.
Yeah.
But after the Arnold, I told Eduardo, do this show, you'll win.
Hmm. When you look at a show like this with a pretty weak lineup, obviously, which gave Johnny Jackson obviously a tremendous advantage going into this show.
Yeah.
In my belief, Michael Kafaliannis gave up a perfect opportunity to win a show here because I think best, he's still so much better than everyone shape-wise and muscle belly-wise. I think probably even though his shape is a little off, I think Kafaliannis could have taken Johnny Jackson had he come in his usual ridiculously shredded self, and he still took third, so... just goes to show you how you know weak the lineup was. I don't know what's wrong with these guys. It doesn't seem like anyone can get in shape anymore, Chris. What happened to the old days when you do a show, everyone shows up in shape?
Oh, God. Are we going to go through this again tonight? Yeah. We're on like the same wavelength, dude. I'm telling you. You know what I thought after this show? I thought, boy, Dave came up in the wrong, and a lot of people came up in the wrong time frame.
Yeah.
Right? Because there's a lot of people who... never even got a pro card who at their best probably could have, I hate to insult people, could have won this show.
Well, I'm looking at the...
I mean, there's a long list of great NPC bodybuilders.
Well, we mentioned earlier.
Who people don't, listening to the show, don't even know who the hell he is.
Bo Matlock, yeah.
You know, would have been in the running to win this show.
I'm just telling you, though, you know what, you know, like Fuad Abiad could have won this show. I think any of these guys that were like in that, you know, Ben Pekulski could have won this show.
Oh, Pekulski would have won it. Yeah, and last year he got smolded in it.
I mean, if I was Evan Sendapani, I would have done this show. Go to FIBO, win a show, get a nice paycheck, make 1 million fans there and 1 million contacts and probably make like, you know, turn that into 100 grand, you know, down the road. So Johnny Jackson's smart. He's a smart guy. He went there. He might not even have been his best. He might have known he wasn't going to be his best, but he said, you know what? Who the hell can I beat in this lineup? So he made a good choice. You know, I look at Mark Lavoie, and I remember when you worked with him when he turned pro and he won the North American. He was absolutely peeled. And I go and look at his conditioning, and it was horrendous.
No, that wasn't me. That wasn't me. That was my friend who worked with Sam Zabib.
Oh, I thought you worked with LaVoy. But whoever worked with him,
he was... with the guy. No. I worked with him, but it was George Farah who said he had worked with him. He hijacked him.
Oh, George Farah tried to take credit for working with Mark LaVoy.
No, he tried to trade. There was like translation going on. The guy doesn't speak any English, Mark LaVoy.
Right. Yeah, but you did work with him, right? Am I right?
No. But I'll take credit. I'll do a fair. I'll take credit right now. Yeah, I did. Go ahead.
My point is that LaVoy was shredded when he went North American. How come he shows up at this show looking terrible? You know?
I don't know. And you know what? He was great last year, too.
Yeah.
You know, he's been at different points, you know, really good. And this is like the worst version we've seen. You know what? It's funny. He would have easily been top three in his, like, diced up, you know, full... you know, full look.
How embarrassed are you when you Fozzie Hanst, okay, comes in 17th place, last place in this lineup. And I'm not trying to, like, you know, put anyone down or anything like that, but to come in last is like a pretty bad, like, is like, it's kind of a real spanking. It's really saying, you know, you look terrible, basically is what it's saying. And I looked at the pictures of him, and he was in horrendous condition. I mean, what mirror are these guys looking at, Chris, when they get up on the stage, when they say, you know what, I'm going to compete tomorrow? I would kill myself before getting up on stage looking like that.
Well, here's the reason. Somebody, I went to my thread today on the site, and somebody asked me about getting lean, blah, blah, blah. Here's the gist of it. The guy kind of, in a roundabout way, asks, can I get in shape without, you know, being hungry? And I just, you know, I don't take calls or text messages when people say I'm starving because I just don't want to listen to it. But, you know, to me, if you're starving, you probably do need to eat a lot more, but that probably means you're getting in shape. And I don't think, you know, Fauzi was starving for this show.
Even dieting for the show.
You know what I mean?
I look better than that in the off season.
Oh, you're shredded all. You're not starving.
My point is, I don't know why these guys would show up. I mean, look, if sometimes things go wrong in your life and you can't get into the shape you want, but why would anyone show up at a show looking like that? I don't get it.
I don't know.
I thought you would have insight into that. No?
No, I think that... here's the problem. People are so caught up in the whole bullshit of, well, I'm holding water. When people tell me that, I say, you're fat.
No, you're right.
And then when people say, I'm flat, I say, you're still fat. Because people just get caught up in, like, you know, euphemisms for, I'm just not... you know, and holding water is one of them, and flat is another one. It's like, you know.
You know who I thought was going to do well in this lineup? That Santana Anderson guy. He looks all right, but what did you think of his look, you know, on stage?
He was better when he won the Canadas last year.
What do you think?
How's that?
What didn't you like about his physique looking at the pictures?
He was too
diuretic, maybe?
You want the technician diagnosis?
Yeah, of course I do.
Someone can probably call him up and tell him what happened and see if this doesn't validate. This will be the answer. Is he used way too much diuretics for what his body could handle, and then he was flat from it, and then he probably got panicky and ate too much, so he spilled in the wrong places. So some part of him, like his back, was tight, and then other parts of him, the shoulder arm tie-in and the glutes and hams were watery, and he doesn't know what went wrong, but that's exactly what went wrong.
Because I think he's got potential. You know, he's got a pretty good physique.
Yeah, no, he's got a good physique. He was good when he won the can. I mean, you can see his pecs are strided, but they're flat. His shoulders and arms are flat.
Yeah, and it looks like his glutes don't really have fat on them, but there's nothing popping there, you know?
Yeah.
So... I guess these guys got to go back to the drawing board, so
yeah,
to speak.
Yeah, back to the Canadian, you know, he should call the Canadian technician, Ron Partlow.
what do you think should be Johnny Jackson's next move? Does he go to New York? Does he try to tighten up and go to New York? Or does he just, you know...
He's going to have his hands filled in New York, dude.
That's what I'm thinking. Or do you think he just says, look, I got my fucking paycheck. I got my qualification. I'll take it easy now till the summer shows or something.
I would probably take the win and run.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
You know, because it's you know, I see Johnny Jackson. I love his physique. And I don't like Kevin English's physique. But Kevin English scares me. You know what I mean? The mass and the craziness.
And you know what? You got to give it to the guy. Aside from he had a little gap with the Olympia prejudging. I think he had to suck down too much to make weight. But the guy always shows up in condition. You can't ever say that. He never is.
No. Take away the last year's 212 or 202 quote win for him was a disaster for him.
Yeah.
Outside of that one show, he's always wild looking, and you know, he's going to be wild looking, I'm sure, because he's got room to wiggle. You know, he doesn't have to come down for the New York Pro. So, how's that fit into the context? Is if Johnny Jackson is thick as hell, I mean, he's got to go up against English with, you know, English has got the thick upper body like Jackson, but he's got the quads.
Yeah, we don't know we don't know who's doing the New York Pro. I mean, we don't know if Johnny's going to be in the New York Pro.
I even talked about Juan Morell. I mean, it's not a New York Pro show preview, but you know, that's the first guy that came to my mind just out of freak factor.
Well, when I landed in Seattle, the weather was beautiful, and I said to myself, an old friend of mine, Kyle, we went for sushi, and I said, you know what? It never rains when I'm in Seattle. And that was the kiss of death.
You said that last week.
I know. And I was standing by when I landed. I was so confident. And then, of course, it started pouring right after I said that. And luckily, it only rained for one day. We had beautiful weather, actually, the rest of the weekend. And it was a really enjoyable 30th anniversary NPC Emerald Cup weekend. I felt like it was at the Nationals. I got to be honest with you. And, Chris, we talked about this, how many people they get at that show. They sold out the prejudging. They had to add chairs for the night show. They probably got 5,000 people in there, I guess, between the two days. And one thing you can definitely assure yourself of, if you have a booth there, you're going to sell everything you got. And we sold every scrap of, we were selling old t-shirts at the Species booth. We were scrounging around for stuff to sell. That's how much we sold.
Go to the retail store, see if we can get a discount at the GNC. So we'll sell the stuff over here.
That's right. It was a good weekend. I got to just tell you, I know you know David Barton, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. How do you know I know him?
Because I know that he was a Grushkin guy, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. But people don't know David Barton. He was a good bodybuilder.
Yeah. Well, the David Barton that most people know is the gym David Barton, you know, guys. And David Barton, I don't know if you know this, has a gym right in Bellevue there, in Bellevue, Washington, right across the street from where the Emerald Cup was held. That is the, and I'm prefacing, the most beautiful gym I've ever been in. The most beautiful gym. I heard he spent something like $1 million just on the lighting in there. It's like Art Deco. It's so cool that I can't even explain it. And I actually filmed a couple training videos in there, and Heather Dees gave us a tour of the gym, so you can get a taste of what he did. I mean, just when they got the whole, it's like this long hallway that leads into the gym, and this hallway is ramped, like almost like an extreme game type of ramp where these guys can skateboard up and down, and it's the coolest wood with cool lighting. And he's got, you remember the Brian, what's his name? The Better Bodies Gym. What was his name?
Brian Moss.
Brian Moss had those crazy couches in Better Bodies Gym.
Yeah.
Well, he's got like the same couches. In this huge area overlooking the whole city with these big glass windows. It's unbelievable, this gym. And I heard I have never been to the Miami one. I heard the Miami one is crazy too, but this one I think is the
Miami one is in the same, one of them is in the same place where the Nationals was.
Yes.
Same hotel.
The Eden Rock, I believe, right? Something like that.
No, but where was the Goover? I can't even say it. It just got sold.
Oh.
The hotel down there, the way the Nationals was.
I can't remember the name of it. But
you know, do you remember Jillian Hodge?
Yeah, of course I do.
Jillian Hodge
jumping
was
all
great.
Over the place. She had the
South
haircut.
South Beach. Yeah, she had a, you know, she went down, moved into South Beach when it was the cheapest rent you could find in South Florida.
Right.
South Beach used to be the cheapest area to live.
Well, it was like a slum. That's why it was like old people.
Yes.
My grandmother was living
there. That's right. 1991. I remember going and looking at, I didn't really own any real estate, but I was looking at.
You were trying to earn real estate.
Real estate down there on the beach. And it was on the beach and it was like an old Art Deco hotel. And you could buy like small condos on the beach for like $23,000.
Wow.
And I called up George Zachary. I don't know if you know George Zachary. Mm-hmm. He's deceased. He's a lawyer to J.J. Marsh and a lot of bodybuilders out in L.A. And he said, nah, it's a terrible investment. Anyways, where comes the connection to David Barton? David Barton went down to South Beach way before it became South Beach to open up a gym before anyone would, even thought of it as a destination to go to. So the guy has some foresight.
Did he have the gym in New York at that time?
He had the gym. That was his first one. He was trained. He was winning some shows. He was training with Bob Gruskin. And that's how I met him. And he got a partner and he did some crazy gym on the Upper East Side and made it like put a ridiculous amount of money in and then charged ridiculous membership fees. And right away it was like, there was a second gym. His first one was
the gay. A lot of gays, I know that in the city.
Yeah. The first one was the lower something side, lower. Downtown. The first one was like in the basement somewhere. It was kind of like hardcore.
He probably made a lot of money out there.
Yeah, it became so crazy successful. He went Upper East Side to like, for the big Trump money.
But him and his wife supposedly, she supposedly got the decorator or someone. She designed the gym or something like that. I'm telling you, Chris, I if you could have put a bed in the middle of the gym, I could make that my apartment. It was like, it's like a loft. It's the craziest looking thing you've ever seen. When you see this video that we put up, I shot Heather D's training in the gym. I shot Nathan DeTracy and Gabe Moen. Nathan DeTracy.
I can't wait to see it. When is the gym shots going to be on?
Well, I'm going to do the interview with the Heather D's and I'm going to put her video where we do her back training. In the beginning, her and the girl who works behind the desk gave the tour of the gym. I even went into the men's locker room with the two girls just to show you exactly what the whole place was about. I'll get it up this week. I'm telling you, this thing blew my freaking mind. And you know what? David Barton was a sponsor of the show. Actually was able to train at the gym for free the whole weekend. So it was great. It was beautiful.
Totally cool. That's totally cool.
Anyway.
He comes from the bodybuilding world. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, they have right across the street also, I guess Bellevue has gotten very well-to-do. There's a lot of wealthy people there. There's a Microsoft building there. There's one of the richest shopping malls in the country is there. And every time I walked by this thing on the way to the Maidenbauer Center where the show was, they had a different unbelievable car in front of one of the shops. They always park the nicest car right in the front. They valet it.
Oh, sure, of course.
And they had the car that I'm going to say will be my two leases from now. Not my next lease, the lease after that. They had an Aston Martin that is just was
unbelievable. Oh, yeah, it's nuts. That was just like nuts.
Beautiful. Because you know what it is? It's not overly done. I can't drive a Ferrari or Lamborghini. They had a couple of those there too. They're beautiful cars, but it's like almost too flashy. It's the Aston Martin is like sophisticatedly, it's the James Bond car. I mean, what else do you need to do? You're James Bond, you drive that car. So I fell in love with that car.
Yeah. Well, Rolls Royce is nice.
Yeah, but they're big. They're big, I guess that's pretty good. But, everyone now is driving a Bentley. Everyone's like, can you get a Bentley? I'm like, first of all, I don't want to spend the money on a Bentley.
Are they? That's so funny. You know what? Go ahead. I'll tell you my Bentley story.
Bentley seems to be like the car that anyone who wants to think that they're important, drives now. To me, nothing to. They don't do anything. I know Vince McMahon has a Bentley, so I guess that's the car.
It must be my insecurity complex. I was looking at Bentleys one day, maybe 2-3 months ago. I was looking, online, and you can go all over the country and search them down, and you can find them relatively cheap if they have a zillion miles on it, ready to break down.
Yeah.
So last time I was in Miami, Jesus Christ. I was sitting on, this is no joke, on Collins Avenue, actually in my car talking to you.
Yeah.
And they were going by like a dime a dozen. Every dime a dozen. Cars a Bentley would go by.
I'm saying that it's like the like the Mercedes SL500, which is now the 550, yeah. Which is that that used to be the car in the, like the 90s and early 2000s, like that when Britney Spears would go into the dealership because she knew nothing about cars, they'd sell her one of those. Now when they when yeah. she goes into the dealership, they sell you a Bentley Continental. So I just think it's an overdone car, and it's expensive. It's not, it's, you know, they're good cars, but I think, yeah, it's not. Aston Martins, you don't see a lot of them. That's what I like about it.
Yeah, you know? No, you don't.
Probably for good reason, because they're expensive, but, you know, people don't know about them. Unless you're a car aficionado, you don't really know
about them. Yeah, no, they don't. They don't know about them. They're not popular, right? You know, they're just people, you're right, people don't know about them.
So, anyway. Let's get back to the show. So the MPC Emerald Cup, the 30th anniversary, Brad and Elaine Craig. We had Brad Craig on last week through the show. It's raving success. There was over 500 competitors in the show. They had to hold it over 2 days. It was a very long
weekend. I'm sure.
But I had a good time. I saw Todd Jewell there. He was hanging out. I guess he's taking the year off, he told me. He told me he's going to Mumbai, India to train some of those Bollywood stars there. They're paying him big bucks.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So.
That's interesting.
Good for him. Yeah, he's going to make some money. I think it's a good idea. I said, look, go. What do you got to, what's the difference? Go. I said, who's better than you? You have no dependence on anyone.
Yeah, bring some Pepto-Bismol with you.
Yeah. You know what you do? You train him once a day. And I mean, he's got 1 hour a day of work to do. I mean, he's going to make a good amount of money out of this. So he's in good spirits, obviously. I saw Stan Efferding, the white rhino over there as well.
Yeah.
Who's
the black rhino?
I don't know if there is a black rhino, but there's definitely a white rhino.
Of course there is. It's bodybuilding trivia.
The black rhino.
He used to be on his t-shirts, IFBB Pro.
The black rhino? You sure it's
the black rhino was Renel Jean-Bierre.
He was the black. I didn't know he was the black rhino. That's that's news to me. That's a good trivia question then. I didn't know that. So you stumped me. You stumped the jumbo. You sure about that?
I can probably stump you with what he... I won't go there.
I know Rennell, because Rennell was living on Long Island for a while. When he was making his comeback, I was helping him out a little bit. And he was... No one has ever seen anyone train worse than he does. He's got the worst training form of all time with the most strength I've ever seen of a human being. He'd go into the gym, no warm-up, the 150-pound dumbbells, and bang out like three sets of fucking incline dumbbell presses and leave. That would be his chest workout.
It was smoke the rest of the day.
The worst form, just hurling him up in the air like you've ever, like just nuts, you know, like what the fuck.
He was strong though, huh? Right?
Oh, he was really strong. I mean, that's why he had good muscle on his body. He did train heavy, you know, I'll give him that, but he never warmed up, you know, just like a total mess, you know, total mess. Anyway,
so you saw the white rhino out
there. So I saw the white rhino out there, who's now not, he used to live out there, you know, he moved to
Vegas.
Right? He just had a kid, and which is new for him. He's like me.
Congratulations, Stan. Get a kid, boy. He's got to be happy about that, huh?
I don't know how happy he is about it. I think he'll be happier when the kid turns like two or three, when he can start having fun with him. Now it's like in that stage where he's not really, you know, enjoying it that much. But he opened a gym in that Seattle area called the Flex Wheel of Fitness, and Gabe Moen runs the gym for him, and then I guess he must have given Gabe part of the gym, half the gym, when he moved to Vegas. So the two of them run that gym, and it's a great gym. They had a lot of athletes actually in the show out of there, so they wanted me to give them a shout out. So I'm giving them a shout out. I know they carry the Species brand there, and they push my products, and I know Stan loves the Isolize, and he buys a ton of that from me. So thanks, guys, for the support, and it was good seeing you again. And actually, Stan had sent me a text message. He's been text messaging for a couple weeks about this girl who's making a comeback. And I don't know, you might not know who she is, but her name is Jacqueline Till. And she, back in 95, she did the Junior Nationals when I did the Junior Nationals. I had won the heavyweight because I think she was second. I thought she won the overall there, but she didn't. Steve Wennerstrom corrected me. She came in second in the heavyweight class to Jennifer Greenbaum, who won the overall. So a verbal correction on that. But she hadn't competed for 17 years, Chris. She took off 17 years. She got discouraged with the whole women's bodybuilding scene. She started training about maybe 6-7 months ago, and she didn't even do legs. She was like running stairs and stuff like that because she thought she'd be too big. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the pictures of her from the Emerald Cup, she's really good. I mean, I think she could certainly be a pro bodybuilder if she really put her mind to it and spent another, you know, 5 months really training hard, because she's got a great physique still after all these years, you know.
So how old is she now?
I don't know. That's a good question. She's probably got to be about my age, I would think, or maybe 40. I mean, she might be a little younger.
I wish I knew the answer. It'd be stump Jumbo twice.
That's right. That's right. But I did interview her, so you can check out the interview online.
Okay.
RxMuscle.com.
What's her name again?
Jacqueline Till.
Jacqueline
Till. So, yeah, take a look at that. I was very impressed with her comeback, and Stan helped her out a little bit with the diet there, and everything worked out well. So, congratulations to her. It was good seeing her. Chris, it's been 17 years since I did that show. Can you believe it?
Wow.
I feel old.
Wow. How many years is it since you graduated high school?
I just had my 25th reunion last year. So
25 years. There you
go. Going on 26.
Crazy,
years,
right?
Yeah, soon it's going to be you must be up to 30 already, right?
I don't know. I'm 46. I don't know. Whatever that is.
You're up to 40. You're up to 30 years, my friend.
No, 46. I haven't been out of high school 46 years.
No, 30 years. 30 years.
Definitely. Oh, well.
You know, I want to also say Sean Catterly, who we had on the show last week, ran the Record Breakers powerlifting contest there. And while they were holding this venue is so big, you can do a million things there. It's kind of like it's like a ballroom, but it's a tremendous ballroom. And I watched this girl, Christy Scott, deadlift 545 pounds, Chris. So, I don't know if it's a world record, but it's certainly a record of some sort because it's raw. I think it might be a raw world record. But you know what? I can't even describe what it is for a woman to deadlift 545. You know, no wraps, nothing like that. You know, just a belt. Crazy. Crazy. I interviewed her. Well, that'll be up a little later in the week on the site, the Christy Scott. And I actually have the video of her actually doing it, so it's mind-boggling to see it. Because it doesn't look like she can physically lift it off the ground, you know, and it just moves the weight. It's just to give you guys an example, any of you guys who think you're tough guys out there and you lift a lot, go into the gym, no wraps, okay? Just a belt, no wrist straps or anything like that, and try to deadlift 545 off the ground one time. And then you'll know it.
How many times can he do it?
Rennell probably going. Rennell's the kind of guy that would go in with no warm 10 reps with it, you know. But no one else is doing that. Trust me, it's not that easy. Even at my best, I probably would have had trouble getting one. Just you know, because I used to deadlift six plates, but I would do it with straps on. So it's not so easy, you know, to use good form and to get the lockout on it and everything. So I was impressed with her. There was a good bunch of guest posers there as well. Branch Warren guest posed.
I didn't know he guest posed at that show.
Yeah, he was the head guest poser there, and he looked good. I talked to him for a little bit, and he was in good spirits. You know, it's funny. I noticed his leg. I could tell the leg was smaller, more so now that he's out of shape a little bit than when he was really ripped. It's that outer head, that vastus lateralis muscle on that right leg is definitely a little much. Well, there's almost like nothing there. It's all atrophy. The advantage he's got is that he's got such a huge adductor inner thigh that it compensates, you know, for the girth of his leg. But if he didn't have that huge girth, you would definitely see the difference quite a bit. If you go online, we have the guest posing video of him up, and you can take a look at it. But I suppose he'll be working hard on it for the rest of the year leading up to the Olympia and trying to bring that muscle back. Is it possible, Chris, to get that thing back?
No.
I think you lose the innervation there when you tear that muscle.
No, it ain't gonna come. You know, it's once an egg's cracked, it ain't. You know,
well,
you cracked an egg, it ain't coming back.
I'm sure he's loving us hearing you say that because that's gonna be more motivation for the
because
train.
That's how I said. I mean, okay, then yeah, it'll grow back.
No, that's good. I'm saying you should doubt him because I think Branch performs best when people doubt him that he can do something. Then he trains 1,000 times harder to prove everyone wrong. And he did. Greatest comeback of all bodybuilding history. I say that, and I know you endorsed that as well when he won the Arnold. That's for sure. Brandon Curry guest post. You look pretty good.
Yeah, how Brandon Curry look? He's always...
Well, I heard that he was doing... You know. Lonnie Teeper told me a rumor that he was doing the New York Pro. Now, when I asked him, he got very evasive about it. He's like, well, I haven't decided yet.
That means yes.
That means yes.
Let me guess. Yes. Right.
He didn't tell me. He wouldn't tell me. He said, I'm thinking about it. I'm going to decide in the next, couple of weeks.
Maybe he can't tell. Maybe it's gone so far. You can't even. You don't know the record. You don't know who's in the show, right?
We kind of know. We know Juan Morell's in the show. Steve Kuklo's in the show. Kevin English is in the show. If Curry jumps in, that's going to, you know, that'll be a nice little lineup there we got for ourselves. I think he's going to do it. I do think he's going to do it. We'll have his guest posing video up probably by the time the show goes live.
So the show's in how many weeks?
What is it, like 4 weeks now? 5 weeks?
And how do you look?
He's on track. He could definitely make it. Okay. I think he looks good. Okay. You know, Curry always looks good. You know, he's a little...
Yeah, no, he does always look
he's
good.
He's one of these guys that never will look super ripped. Even when he's like 3 weeks out, you know, he's not going to look that
way.
Yeah. These guys hold a lot of water, especially at night. That's just the kind of physique he's got. You said it yourself. There's certain bodybuilders that when you can... You got to suck a ton of water out of them to get them to look like really, really shredded dry. And he's one of those guys.
There's some that 4 weeks out you'd think they'll never make it, and then they make it in, you know, plenty of time.
I shocked the shit out of you. Now, Nathan DeTracy, who I hadn't seen in action for a while, he's going to be on the show a little later as a guest, believe it or not. He is back in action, and he has put on a tremendous amount of size from when I helped him win that when he won the Nationals, and got his pro card as a middleweight. He's probably a good solid 200 pounds now. I mean, I know he's about to come down at least 15 to 18 pounds for the New York Pro, but he's going to be doing that 212 class. So he could be a shocker in there. You know, he's got a lot of mass on him. I don't know if he's going to be able to, he's not going to be able to beat Jose Raymond, but he certainly has the size. And if he puts together the conditioning that I know he can and is capable of, and I don't know if that's always a big if, I think he can be dangerous on that stage.
Yeah, I forget what he was ripped to the bone when you worked with him. Yeah,
he's a little short.
Yeah, I'm looking at pictures now
guy.
He's
good.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah. Well, he won the what class? Middles or light heavies?
He won the middleweight class at the Nationals a couple years back, and
yeah, he was peeled. He was peeled then.
He's a dangerous guy. You know, he's a guy like a Jose Raymond who packed on the mass that he needed. He took 2 years off or something like that. And he's going to be dangerous, I believe, on stage. Like I said, that's if he gets in the kind of condition that we know he's capable of. Some of these guys, you see that 212 number, and they say, oh, I got to be big, and then they make a mistake, and they give up the conditioning you know, that they could bring in. So we'll have to see what happens. We'll talk to him a little later. He had a little craziness in his life. He had a gym. He had a wife. They got divorced. He lost the gym. He was almost bankrupt. Now he's back up. You know, he's making money again. So we're going to talk to him about that, like I said, a little later in the show. Good old Russ Testa was there. He's got to be 60 years old, this guy. I mean, he did his crazy guest posing. He posed like 3 times over the course of the weekend. Once he did it with a group of people as the Temptations.
Where is he living now? He's originally from New York.
But he's from upstate New York, upstate.
Yeah, upstate.
He's still there. He looks good. The guy's still got a head of hair. He's in good shape. He's not as big as he used to be. But Russ was always a natural bodybuilder. So the fact that he looks as good as he does, I'm impressed. He's always a professional. His posing is super dramatic. I have his routine is going to go up also a little later, probably tonight. By the time this show airs, you'll see his solo guest posing he did. Because he did two of them. He did one by himself, and then he did one with a group of other guys, like they were the Temptations, which was interesting. Mm-hmm. I put that up already, but... He's very entertaining, I have to say. If you've never seen him, he's entertaining. He does tend to pose a little too long. And I think
I just could say he has super long routines.
Yeah, less is better, I always say, you know, and let them
He used to
more.
Love posing to Purple Rain. Who sings Purple Rain?
Prince. Yeah.
He was a big Prince fan. He liked to pose to all the Prince songs. And a little bit of Michael Jackson. He still do that?
He didn't. Yeah, I've seen him do Michael Jackson. He didn't do that. He had a very inspirational song he used, some kind of very theme-ish music, and it was great. Uh-huh. People are going to like it. And then there was another guy they had guest posing. His name was Eric the Wheel, because he rolls around in this like cylindrical wheel. I have the video up online. I don't know if you watched it. It's pretty interesting. The athleticism is unbelievable. And I decided to give my Dave Palumbo opinion, where usually it's not warranted, but I felt that I had a good idea. I was sitting backstage with CJ, who does the posing suits, you know, the custom suits. And I said to him, Eric the Wheel, when he came off, I said, you know, you could probably double your fee that you get for these appearances if you just got yourself a costume. Because he was like wearing like a t-shirt and like a pair of jeans doing this. It looked like they pulled him off the street and they said, hey, go into it. And I said, if you got a costume, have CJ make you a custom costume with sequins on and everything. You double your price. They'll think you're from Las Vegas. He ignored me. I don't know if he maybe didn't speak English or what, but he wasn't buying it. He laughed, smiled, and walked away. So I think I insulted him. You know, but I've
Is that up now? It's up. Yeah. It's going to be up.
Yeah, no, that's been up. Eric the Wheel has been up. I put that up on Friday because he did it twice. He did his act there. So. But, you know, look, not everyone likes to take constructive criticism, but sometimes I feel that I have to give it in any way. That's all she wrote. That's pretty much all she wrote. Look, Chris, we're going to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we'll talk about the Emerald Cup results and talk about a few other things, upcoming events in the next week. Next week is the Europa. It should be exciting. And we'll find out what's going to happen. I'm going to be down there with Aaron Dubaka-Singerman. So back in 2 minutes.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RxMuscle.com.
There are three aspects to athletic performance: energy, endurance, and recovery. And there is one nutrient that enhances all three: oxygen. Maximize explosiveness and power, increase reps, improve muscular endurance, dramatically reduce recovery times, and enhance mental focus. No matter what your sport, no matter what your level, it's all about oxygen. Check out oxygenforenergy.com. 95% pure oxygen for serious athletes. That's oxygen, the number 4, energy.
Visit ExtremeFitNutrition.com, the newest and hottest supplement super site. We carry all the major brands, including Species, MHP, BPI, BSN, Optimal Nutrition, Gaspari, and many more. Low on cash? No problem. ExtremeFitNutrition.com offers competitive prices that our competitors can't beat. Now you can supplement your diet without having to supplement your bank account. Here's some of our specials. Buy $100 worth of Species products or Metabolic Nutrition and get a free t-shirt and bag. Buy $200 worth of BSN products and receive a BSN t-shirt and shaker bottle. Check out ExtremeFitNutrition.com for more great deals. Visit us at the 2011 Olympia Expo. Stop by booth number 322 and meet IFBB pros Bethany Wagner, Guy Cisternino, Tiana Gonzalez, and Gina Trociano. Remember, there's only one Extreme. Visit ExtremeFitNutrition.com now.
What's up, everyone? This is Dave Palumbo with RxMuscle.com. First things first, thanks for supporting our site. And speaking of support, we couldn't do what we do without the support of our advertisers. So I feel it's very important at this time to ask you to support our advertisers by purchasing their great products and by clicking on their banner ads right on this very page. I also want to point out the great deal that my friends over at SciFit Nutrition are offering. Buy one, get one free for their new pre-workout formula, Dark Energy. Now, let me tell you something about Dark Energy. Number one, it comes in 6 great flavors. And from what I hear from my friend Ian Lauer, the editor-in-chief of RX Muscle's sister site, mensphysique.com, his workouts are literally in the stratosphere. This is a guy who's got so much energy in the gym, and I never knew where it came from. SciFit's new Dark Energy. Buy one, get one free. Click on that banner ad on the right side of the screen and support the people who support us.
Tad the Diet Coach, contest prep guru for bodybuilding, bikini, physique, and figure. Go to tadthedietcoach.com. An expert on nutrition and exercise science with over 20 years experience in fitness and bodybuilding. Tad the Diet Coach offers a complete scientific and individually focused contest prep or a full off-season plan that is custom tailored for your own unique needs. This kind of diet coaching is a premium coaching service that includes weekly conference calls, individually based diet and supplement plans, specific cardio and workout schedules, and constant contact during the contest prep or off-season process. Tad the Diet Coach, author of the Diet Recipe Cookbook, and also the creator of the Coach's Choice Whey Protein Isolate, which is the absolute best-tasting premier isolate on the market. Tad the Diet Coach will get you to the next level. Go now to tadthedietcoach.com or send an email to info@tadthedietcoach.com.
Out on the edge of fitness and endurance, there's a line. It's where winners and losers are defined. That's the narrow place where Gamma O gives the serious competitor the extra step. That extra kick nobody knew was there. Gamma O raises your testosterone level naturally and legally. So before you step up to the line one more time, be prepared to bring it with Gamma O, the all-natural testosterone booster. Gamma O is available nationwide at General Nutrition Centers or on the web at GammaO.com.
Fusion Bodybuilding makes bodybuilding strongest supplements, and they're committed to giving back to you. Fusion Bodybuilding not only want to promote the bodybuilding lifestyle, but they also want to help build the sport. Bodybuilding is all they do. It's their obsession. You know the feeling. That's why you're here. Visit Fusion Bodybuilding at FusionBodybuilding.com or join in on the conversation on the Fusion Bodybuilding fan page on Facebook, where you'll find IFBB Pro Q&As, contest giveaways, and nothing but in-depth bodybuilding talk. Fusion Bodybuilding. Bodybuilding's strongest supplements. Head over to FusionBodybuilding.com today. P28 High Protein Bread is the official bread of RX Muscle. Are you looking to incorporate more protein into your meals or just want to enjoy bread again? Then look no further. Try the 100% natural P28 High Protein Bread. P28 High Protein Bread is a formulated revolutionary breakthrough product. Packed with whey protein isolate, 14 grams of protein per slice, 12 grams of carbs, 8 essential amino acids, and made with 100% whole wheat. Fear bread no more. Build a better body with P28. Order today at highproteinbread.com. P28 is also now available at bodybuilding.com and many other retailers. Order now. Highproteinbread.com. P28 bread. RX Muscle approved.
Isolate and grow with the Isolator. The Isolator is a unique device that allows you to target muscle groups like never before. Ever wanted to get that perfect contraction right at the belly of the muscle to stimulate new growth? The Isolator can do just that. Can't seem to bring up your chest or back? The Isolator will help you get those new muscle gains. The Isolator is hands-free, so your grip isn't affected. That means if you have any nagging injuries, such as joint or rotator cuff pain, or problems with your grip, then the Isolator will have you back in the gym today. The Isolator follows your natural range of motion without being locked into a machine or at the mercy of those old school hand grips and rigid pull down bars. That means you can still do bench presses, pull downs, rows, flies, and whatever other movement you normally do, but with greater stimulation and a lot less stress on your joints. To find out more about the Isolator, visit isolatorfitness.com. Check out the videos and see the Isolator in action. Isolate and grow with the Isolator. Visit isolatorfitness.com.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com. Heavy Muscle Radio.
Welcome back to Heavy Muscle Radio. I'm Dave Palum, Chris the Technician Aceto. We just got through talking about FIBO a little earlier in the show. We talked about the Emerald Cup, but I only mentioned Jacqueline Till winning. The guy who won the men's overall, his real name was Moose El Bokuchi. And I guess it's short for Musafta or Musatfa. He's from France, and he was originally from Morocco. He's living over here now. His wife works for Nike, I guess, and it's interesting, but the guy's got a good physique. If you check out his pictures, he's won a lot of NABBA shows in Europe, you know, and he's won the Mr. France before, but I guess the French don't like to give out pro cards for winning their country thing, so I don't know how he's going to get his. But he thinks he's going to compete in the United States. I guess he wasn't understanding my English that he's not allowed to. You know, that he has to have citizenship to do that. He'll probably have to do the Arnold Amateur or something like that. It's nice to see some good quality competitors, though, at the regional level. I have a nice interview with him up. He's a nice kid. He's pretty intense. And with a name like Moose, how can you go wrong, right?
Yeah. He speaks good English.
Yeah, he's pretty good. He understood me. The women at the Emerald Cup are notoriously the best because... if you go back and look at the winners, if you look at the winners of that show, you see tons of pros. This girl, Jacqueline Sutton, won the fitness overall. She's 23 years old. She was like a Raptors cheerleader since she's been 16 years old. Not only did she win the fitness, but then she did mixed pairs. Here's a good trivia. They have mixed pairs at this event. It's the only show, I think, in the country that still does mixed pairs. She did mixed pairs with Carol Semple's boyfriend. Now, Carol Semple is a former Ms. Fitness Olympia, and her boyfriend is a bodybuilder. And this girl, Jacqueline Sutton, and Carol's boyfriend won the mixed pairs, and she was posing. She was hitting poses. This girl is so good, she could do women's physique right now if she wanted to, but she's a phenomenal gymnast. If you look at the pictures of her routine, she's high-flying, and I predict she'll be a pro by the end of the year if she wants to. That's how good she is. That just goes to show you the level of a competitor there. And the funny thing is that, you know, Tanji Johnson's from that area, and she had a lot of competitors in the show. So you would think that Tangi would have the winner, you know, but that just shows you how deep the fitness competition is at this local show. They had like 12 competitors. I mean, that's a lot, you know, for fitness. Most people think fitness is dead, you know. So I was actually very entertained by the routines. So that goes to, once again, shows that the Emerald Cup really does nurture these women. The figure was, there had to be 300 people in the figure division. It was unbelievable. And this girl, Vanessa wow. Nasheim, won. I mean, the fact that she won, given this level of competition, was crazy. The bikini, too. The bikini had more people than the figure, believe it or not. And beautiful girl, Paola Terry, won that. And you can see both their interviews up on the site. Actually, I interviewed all the winners of all the classes, including the men's physique, Paul Tomko, and Anne-Marie Cam, who won the women's physique there. And they had a nice, about 25 girls in that as well. So you would have thought this was a national show. That's how many, that's how deep the lineup was. So thanks again.
30 years, you know.
Thanks again.
30 years, you know what I mean? I mean, the shows that's been around for 30 years successfully, you're going to get a zillion people showing up to compete in it.
You've said it, and I want to once again just thank Brad and Elaine Craig for bringing me out. Great event, and thanks to Mark Mason, who shot the show on crutches for us, and Dan Ray was just there hanging out, and he was helping me with the interview. So once again, great crew at my disposal. Couldn't have done it without him. Let's talk about the IFBB Europa Orlando show that's coming up this weekend. They do not have a pro men's open division like they did last year or the last 2 years, but they do have a 212 division this year. And leading the lineup has to be Al Agusti, who's already won a show this year. I think this is right in his backyard, hometown here, so I'm sure he thrown his hat into the ring for that reason. You know, Al Agusti probably might have won that FIBO show had he gone out there and done
it. I'm just going to say, because he's like shredded wheat.
He's unbelievable, that guy. He's got great structure.
He's shredded wheat with all the bells and whistles, meaning he's got all the tie-ins that make, you know when a guy has the right tie-ins, you just look bigger even if you're not big.
Yep. He's
so that's one what he's
very
got
impressive.
Going for him.
Very impressive. And I suspect
wide shoulders.
I suspect he'll win this. I suspect he'll win this easily. James Darling from Nassau, Bahamas is in the show. Vinny Galante, good friend of mine, is in the show. Raul Carrasco Jimenez from Seville, Spain. Darren Little. Here's a good one. Here's a tongue twister. Nana Kwasi Ofusu Manu from the United Kingdom is in the show. I have no idea who this guy is, but maybe he'll surprise us.
He needs an acronym or something.
Yeah, yeah. We can just abbreviate his name, NKOM. You know, I don't know what that
means.
What
would Lonnie Tepper call him? Lonnie Tepper is the king of nicknames.
Yeah, he definitely is in need of a nickname for certain. And Marco Rivera from the Bronx, New York. I think Marco has a very good shot at certainly, I don't know if he's going to beat Al Agusti, but he can certainly take second here, so that would be great for his pro debut. I thought he was doing his pro debut at the New York Pro, but I guess he looked at the lineup and he's like...
Yeah, for some reason I think of him as an open competitor.
Yeah, well, he won the... he could. I guess he's sucking down to 212, you know? He won the light heavyweight class, so he's right in that area.
Oh, there you go. There's one of those guys, you know? People say, well, who's going to suck it down to 212? Well, there's one. Mm. Because, you know, I just don't think of him as... I don't think of people who do the 212 as small, but I don't think of him as being... You know, being in the mix in the second call out of the New York Pro.
Yeah.
Well, not 1-5. You know what I mean?
Let's see. Let's see what happens. He'll be at the New York Pro. I'm sure he'll be doing the 212 there as well. And, you know, he'll be going up against the Jose Raymond. So this is a good chance for him. I think it's a very good pick for him to do this show. Also, rack up some of these points for this. You know, they have this... I guess the Olympia qualification series. So, you know, the more seconds, thirds, fourth, fifth place votes you get or points you get, that's going to give him a better chance of qualifying for the 212 Olympia if he's one of those top five point scorers, I guess you can say.
Now, let's score pointers.
I don't even know what you call
like
it. I don't even know what you call it anymore. This series.
Point gatherers,
I guess, yeah. The top five point gatherers at the end of the year for the Olympia will qualify for the Olympia, even if they don't win a show. That's the rule, just to remind everyone. Now, they're having men's physique. This will be the third men's physique pro show in the history of the men's physique division. And I see Mark Anthony is in this show. Again, the guy who won in L.A. 2 weeks ago.
He's an Alpha Helix guy, I think.
I think he's a Jay Cutler friend, yeah. I don't know if he's actually an endorsed athlete.
He might be.
Matt Acton from out here in the show as well. So it'll be interesting to see how some of these guys do down in Florida. The women's figure division is stacked with some great competitors. Cheryl Brown will be in there. I see on the list Candace Keene, my species nutrition athlete, will be there. She was third at the Arnold just recently. I see also a couple of, this is weird, I see some bodybuilders who are jumping into this. Ann Tatone, Jack's wife, will be in the show. I see she, her name listed on there. I also see, but I see some bodybuilders. Stacey Pilari is putting her, I wonder if she's in the wrong division. I would think she would do women's physique, because I see Tammy Patnode on here too. I think they're supposed to be in the women's physique category. I think they screwed up some. You see, I'll leave it up to Dave Palumbo to find mistakes. So the women's physique division stacked 20 people, Chris. That's going to be that's my new favorite division. It really is. I know it is.
It's going to be you watch. It's going to take off.
You know, I'm looking at the list here, and Marina Lopez, who I'm kind of friendly with, has done every women's physique show of the year, this year, every single one she's been in. I think that's going to be a record.
Is she getting better or worse as she goes along?
I don't know. She's trying to find where she's supposed to looks best. I think she was too smooth.
Condition wise, I mean.
Yeah, she came in too smooth, and see, this is what they do. They tell you you're too hard, but what they really mean is you're too muscular, and I think that people mess that up. Patricia Mello, who is second place at the LA show,
she's
going to be in this show. She has to be one of the favorites, I would think. I see Jillian Revel, who's going to be in the lineup as well, and Jennifer Robinson, one of my favorites. I like her physique. She didn't look good at her first pro show, but maybe she'll put it together here. Joelle Smith, who did very well in LA, I thought she was a standout, is in the lineup as well. So we got some good competitors. I think it's going to be a great show. I'll be down there with Aaron Jubaka Singerman, doing the play-by-plays and all the latest of going-ons in the Orlando area. That's always a fun show. I like the way Ed sets that show up, because he does it Friday afternoon is the pre-judging for the pros, and then the night show is, which is not a night show, it's Saturday afternoon. So by 6 o'clock, you're done, basically. And kind of gives you some time to go eat and edit video. And I'm actually going to stay an extra day in Orlando there to go to Disneyland or something like that. Or I might go to I always go to Disneyland or Adventure Universal Studios. I think I might go to I think they have like a zoo there or some kind of animal park there. I want to go to see them. I enjoy that better than the ride. I don't really go for rides. I never was really.
Yeah, I get too sick. I get sick on you name it. Anything that goes in a circle, I can go on a roller coaster that goes like 190 miles an hour.
Yeah.
But put me on like a little kid's ride that just goes in circles, I get dizzy.
Yeah. So it's going to be a star-studded event, and he's got a lot of stuff going on. I think he's got a strongman down there event going on. He's got some karate, grappling, judo, arm wrestling. He's got powerlifting. I see that he's going to have a train with the pros. I see Steve Kuklo's name on the list there, Jason Arntz, Branch Warren, Phil Heath, Aaron Stern. So it's a star-studded event that'll be on April 27th and 28th at the Orange County Convention Center, which is a very big convention center. And we'll be down there covering the event, you know, as we always do, Chris. Like I said, what are you doing? Are you traveling anytime soon, anywhere?
I'm not traveling much anytime soon.
We won't see you till New York.
I passed on. I think I'm passing on Brazil.
Oh, you are.
Okay. Which is like it's too last minute for me.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you got the New York Pro you'll be down for, so you'll be with us that whole weekend.
Yep.
That'll be exciting. That's going to be a huge weekend, because that weekend is also the weekend where the Junior USA is held on. So Aaron Jubaka Singerman will be down at the Junior USA. We'll be at the New York Pro covering that event. That's going to be busy, busy, busy.
You're going to tell me it's the Trump, the final showing where they pick the winner.
Celebrity Apprentice. I'm still trying to get tickets for that. I'm going to see if my girl who helps me out can really come through with the tickets like she promised, you know.
Yeah, Pat Penn got thrown off yesterday.
Good. I hated him. Oh.
Yeah, I know. Well, we still got Lisa Lampanelli. I never even heard of her. That's how out to lunch I am.
You never heard? I love her. She's hysterically
funny.
Thank
God I never had, dude.
You got to go on, like, Google her. How is she still out there? I can't believe she's still hanging around.
She's just, you know... I can't even think of an insulting enough word to throw away.
I noticed you're very tongue-tied today. You're having a lot of trouble coming up with thoughts. Is it too late for you? Are you tired?
No. I drove to Atlanta, and I drove back, and I got a flat tire coming back. 21 hours down, stayed there for a few days, 21 hours back. You know, it just, I think it feels good. But good thing I can still work on 25% brain power, and I hope I'm a little bit more entertaining than the Marcus Welby radio host.
Did you see that Sarah Palin movie where they make fun of her out there?
No, I didn't see it.
I saw a little preview. I haven't seen it. This movie, you know, I can't stand Sarah Palin because I think she's a freaking moron, and I think that the people in this country.
I don't know who's worse, her or Lisa Lampanelli.
Well, Lisa Lampanelli's a comedian, so she could be an idiot. Who cares? She's a comedian. Yeah. This woman was running for vice president. They have scenes I saw in the movie where they actually, I guess Woody Harrelson plays like her campaign manager, and they're like trying to prep her for this like debate, and they realize that she doesn't know anything. She thinks that like they're like, you know. You know, they're going to ask you about your policies on Great Britain. You know, the Great Britain is not supporting the war in Iraq. And she's like, well, don't we have good relations with the Queen of England? They're like, don't you know that the Queen of England doesn't make... She's like, who does? They're like, the Prime Minister. They're like, she's like, who's the Prime Minister now?
Who's he?
She didn't know who the Prime Minister was of Great
course.
Britain.
Dude, I mean, this... It they could have given crazy. Her walk-on role to the Three Stooges, the new movie.
Yeah.
She could have played the fourth Stooger.
She was so dumb that she knew nothing about anything, and they didn't know because they hadn't pre-screened
everything
her.
Everything you have to know, any Republican right-wing nut job who's listening to the show can't defend her against that interview she did. I don't care how tired you are, how hungry you are, how, you know, whatever you are. The interview she did with Katie Couric... She didn't know nothing. She was to Katie Couric as like a bodybuilder, like that Faust guy being completely out of shape in FIBO is to that competition, meaning he didn't belong on stage and she didn't belong, you know, being on the Republican ticket. And the Republicans, you know, what a theater.
Well, you know what they did? You know what they did, though, when they realized that she didn't know anything? They got the 25 most prevalent questions that they knew were going to be asked. And she, I guess she's a very good actress and she had a good memory. She's got like a photographic memory. So they just made her memorize the answers to like the top 25 questions that they knew these people would ask. And she actually did good in the debate, if you remember. Because
yeah, I do remember. She
had everything. She remembered everything. The only problem was she was calling. What was the guy's name she was debating? The vice president candidate.
Joe Lieberman.
Lieberman. No, not Lieberman. No, who's the vice president now?
Not Lieberman.
Biden, right?
Biden.
Right. She was calling him O. Biden or something like that. Yeah. But you know what else they said she didn't know? She confused the fact. She thought that Saddam Hussein was the guy who bombed the World Trade Center. That's what she thought.
So Dick Cheney basically did too. That's why we went over there.
They knew. Tried to convince us of that. They knew. They didn't. They knew the policies. Believe me. They just wanted us to think that.
Well, you know, where is she now? They picked her, not to harp on politics, but they picked her because they thought we need the woman's vote because everyone's rallying around Hillary. So what can we do to? They picked her as the antithesis to Hillary, and then they picked Michael Steele to be the hot girl.
They figured if we pick a hot girl, the guys will vote for her. That's exactly what they did. Yeah. I mean, how ridiculous is that?
I thought they picked her to counterweight the idea that people will.
I have
like
no
Hillary
partisanship because you know what? I don't vote. But the point is, when I see a moron, I it drives me crazy. George Bush is a moron. I mean, they should have put Bush and her together. That would what a ticket that would have been. Holy shit. Two dummies, two dumbest people I've ever seen. Anyway, I'm done pontificating on politics, Chris. We have a great show.
You into it again sometime.
We have a great show, and I don't know if I'm going to let Aaron Chewbacca sing him, and I might let him on for 20 minutes or so, and then we're going to go to Nathan DeTracy, who will be making his pro debut at the New York Pro. For now, though, we're going to go to break. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RxMuscle.com. From bikini to bodybuilding, CJ's Elite Custom Competition Suits is where the pros go. Founder and creator Cynthia James, known to the physique world as CJ, has been customizing suits for over 20 years with a unique combo of style, fit, and bling. CJ is the official suit creator for Mr. Olympia Jay Cutler, and being an IFBB Pro official and NPC judge, CJ knows what it takes to present the perfect package on stage. CJ personally manufactures every suit she creates using only the highest quality Austrian-made Swarovski first-cut crystals for an unmatched stage presence. CJ's Elite Custom Suits, no two designs are ever alike. Check out all of CJ's suits at cynthia-james.com, where you'll also find our latest bikini division suit innovations. CJ's Elite Custom Suits are what the pros wear. Jay Cutler, Tanji Johnson, Ava Cowan, Phil Heath, Dexter Jackson, Trish Warren, and many more all know that CJ's Elite is the only way to go when it comes to top quality and innovative suits that fit every time. What are you waiting for? Visit cynthia-james.com right now and check out the new men's physique division creations as well. CJ's Elite Custom Suits is where the pros go.
Hydrolyze Ultra, the leader in cellular hydration water. Hydrolyze Ultra water has been designed by shrinking and reshaping molecules to allow a faster and more sustained delivery into your cells. Our cellular water has gone through a magnetism and laser treatment process, along with adding electrolytes to our special ingredients. This allows all nutrients to be absorbed at a maximum cellular state. By using Hydrolyze Ultra, all nutrients, supplements, and carbohydrates you consume will be absorbed at a greater rate. Lactic acid gets flushed faster, and you'll feel fully hydrated. Get the advantage that top athletes have achieved. Try Hydrolyze Ultra today. Visit HydrolyzeUltra.com. That's HydrolyzeUltra.com.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements on the market. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling pro-anabolics. Methadrol Extreme, Super DMZ RX, Cytostain RX, and E-Control RX with 6OXO. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit IronMagLabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
Who are the Iron Sirens? The heroes. Susie Curry, Adela Garcia, Jenny Lynn, Crystal Richardson. Who are the Dark Divas? Gina Aliotti as Diva X, Jen Gates as Shade, Liza Kamstra as Black Lotus, Sonia Gonzalez as Raptress, and their story is told only in Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens is a one-of-a-kind limited edition comic book series and is the brainchild of J.M. Mannion. Order your copy of Iron Sirens today before they're gone. Visit IronSirensComics.com. That's IronSirensComics.com to get your copy of Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up to the minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Heavy Muscle Radio.
Welcome back to Heavy Muscle Radio. I'm Dave Palumbo on the line now with Aaron Jabaka Singerman, who has just found out the sex of your baby. Do you want to reveal it on the air?
Yes, Dave. I will be the father of a son.
Wow.
From September 7th. Yep.
Wow. That's you broke my whole theory of that bodybuilders to only have girls. So
I know. Well, Ben Pakulski had a boy too, so he kind of broke it first. Mm-hmm. But I guess now I officially cracked it.
You sure that's Ben's kid?
Yeah, it looks just like him. He's got the same ears. Okay. He actually has. If you notice, Ben's got that like little nodule in his ear.
Yes,
like the elf ears. The kid has the same elf ears, it's definitely his.
All
kid.
Right. Well, so much for my theory. It goes down the tubes. I was actually going to make an exception. I was going to say, well, you're not really a bodybuilder. You're a men's physique competitor. So
it's true. And during the time that I got Darielle pregnant, if you remember, that was when I had come off of everything to get smaller for men's physique division.
True. So that is a violation of the rules right there.
Yeah. So you, that way you keep your theory going.
No, Ben Pekulski screwed up my fucking theory altogether. You ruined
it. I know.
You ruined it. So now, what are you going to name the boy? Now that you know it's a boy, what's the name list? Have you gotten it down to anything?
I'm lost. I have no idea. I like Jackson. I told you, I've always liked the name Jackson. But Daryl is not too big on that one. And then my grandfather's name was Charles. And I kind of like, he was a really great man. I did some pretty amazing things. So I liked the name Charles, but she's not too big on that one either.
Is Charles a Jewish name? It doesn't sound very Jewish.
Charles Singerman definitely is. I don't know.
Well, anything with Singerman
on its own.
Anything with Singerman at the end, you can call him Jesus Singerman and he's going to sound Jewish.
Yeah. I don't know. Charles is not a typically Jewish name, but, you know, it's not atypical. It's not like unusual, like super unusual either. You know, it's not like Christian. Maybe Christian would be a very unusual.
Maybe you should call him like Moses or something like that.
Moses. I want something. You know what I want, Dave? I want something that, number one, won't get him made fun of. And number two.
You better change name to Singer then.
Yeah, Singerman. You can't do anything about that, dude.
Yeah.
Something like powerful or like something like, you know, like a good solid name. And then something that's different. I don't want. So this is if people we were still going to do the name Baby Chewbacca, you know.
Let's start
contest.
It. Let's start it. I think
this
we should
is
start
time
it.
To do it. This is time to do it. Now yeah, we this know. Is time. Now we have a boy. It's a boy coming up. So
name the Chewbacca baby. That's the contest. Aaron will post a thread online. We will be taking all names. I actually thought David Singerman would be a good name, but it's too plain. You got to get something a little bit more. Unusual.
I want something unique. Yeah, yeah. You offered. We didn't say what it was, but we're going to have a phenomenal prize for the winner if the name is taken, right?
Yeah, yeah. At least an RX Muscle really biker special. Jacket. I'm thinking. You know,
I think we could do better than that. I think we could do something really big for the winner. Now keep in mind, not only do they have to have the best name, it has to be a name that's actually used.
Right.
So the baby must be named their name, so it really has to be good. You know, it can't just be good. It has to be good in practice.
What a story this will be in 10, 20 years from now if someone actually names your child and they can have bragging rights to that. You know, that'll be a great story.
Yeah, that'll be a big deal. That would be a big deal. You never know.
I don't know. What would be a good name?
That would be.
Have you come
it'll almost
up?
Be like they're part of the family after that.
Yeah. What you got to think about some of your favorite movies, you know, and come up with like Tyrion or something like that, you know.
William Wallace Singerman.
Have a Tyrion from. I actually watched Game of Thrones last night, and
tell me because I haven't seen it yet.
All right, I love the episode. It was the best one yet. They finally got some action going in this thing. So
I've heard that this was a big one. I haven't seen it yet, so don't say anything.
I'm not going to say. I don't read things like that, but I will tell you, there's a lot of sex in it, which I really liked. A lot of graphic sex.
Good.
You know, this is a very graphic. Type of a series. I'm assuming it's probably rated R at least, right?
Oh yeah, there's some scenes. If you remember in the first season where Littlefinger tells her, you know, play with her ass and all that
yeah,
stuff.
Well,
that's
worse.
Like, that's like almost that's pushing it towards like NC.
It's worse than this episode, let me just tell you. So
really? I can't wait.
Yeah.
I can't wait. Yeah. You know, I wish I could get Darielle into that because I know she would like it, but she just won't give it a shot.
It's all right. The girls don't like that stuff. We told you that already. It takes a very special woman to like that. Series, yeah. But I was a little disappointed with the first couple, and I think they were just building it up. Now that it's going to start getting good, so I was very pleased. So if you guys don't watch Game of Thrones out there, they still have the first season on demand, so you guys can watch the whole first season, then you can catch up with the second season. We're only up to episode 4. I'm telling you, you're going to love it. It's a great series.
It's smart that they're doing that. You know that they're keeping up the first season for a little while. Usually, as soon as the previous season starts, they get rid of the season on demand. So it's good that they're doing it, at least for this show. You know,
I don't know how much longer it's going to be up there, but it will.
We got some exciting stuff coming up. You're going to be down here in just a few days.
Yeah, I'll be down flying into Tampa. We're going to Envision Life Extension Clinic there. I'm going to get a complete workup. I'm going to have
Envision Medical,
excuse me.
EnvisionMedical.com.
Yeah, and I'm going to have my. My life extended, hopefully, a little bit by some of their recommendations and some of their prescriptions. I'm looking to go on some better replacement than I've been taking, hopefully. Hopefully, they get some new ideas. I'm not getting any, no pellets, no creams. I only do shots once a week. That's going to be my pledge to them. And I haven't taken any growth hormone for replacement at all in the last 5 or 6 years. So maybe they'll put me on a little bit of that. I'll test out there to let you know the quality of it, since I am very fresh, so to speak.
Right.
And I don't know. Well, what else are they going to check me for?
They'll check you for everything. We're gonna actually watch the whole process. So basically, I'm going to follow Dave around. I'll be the video camera guy. And Dave is going to be basically like, you're going to basically be the patient, as you really are. Yeah. And we're going to follow the whole process. And they did something really cool, Dave. The price got dropped significantly for out-of-state patients. The in-state patients, the RX Muscle price is $499. But in anticipation for you coming in the video, the price was $1,499 for out-of-state patients.
Right.
That's a one-time fee. And they lowered it to $899. So technically, you won't have to come to Florida. You can do the whole thing over teleconference with the doctor.
Wow.
And for $899, that's a one-time fee, including all your lab work and everything. Pretty good deal. Saves you a lot of money from flying into Florida.
They do the lab work for you too?
Everything for that $899.
Now, what do they have to do? How do they take your blood for you? You go to a local lab?
What they'll do is they will actually, you'll pay the $899 and then they'll call Quest Diagnostics or whatever's close to you, and they will pay for it over the themselves through the doctor. You just go there, get your blood work done and leave, and then the blood work is sent back to them.
I love it. I was talking to Stan Efferding. I told him to get hooked up with these guys because he's over 40, as you know, and he needs replacement. And I told him I'm going to put him in touch with it. And a couple other guys I was telling about, Envision Medical. I love them.
There's a lot of, I've got a lot of pro bodybuilders going there right now, actually.
Well, there's a lot of over 40s. The great thing about the sport of bodybuilding is that it's not a drug tested sport. You know, it's legal to use the stuff. And, you know, whereas in baseball, you can get a prescription from a doctor, but it's illegal. It doesn't matter. They don't care if you have a medical need, which is stupid, but that's their rule. Bodybuilding doesn't have a rule. If you're over 40 and you want to get a doctor's prescription for replacement, you can do it. And I think this is the right way to do it for all the guys over 40. They're going to be competing at the Masters Olympics. Hopefully later this year in December in Prague, Czech Republic there, Jarka's show. I know you got Dexter Jackson who lives right by you. Maybe he'll come down and do some lab work. Tony Freeman, I'm sure, would be a great patient. Marcus Haley, and there's a whole host of other, Troy Alves. Look at all the 40-year-olds guys that can come
in. Ben lives by here. I know Ben's going to go to the clinic.
Ben Pekulski.
He's only 30, but... He'll be at the clinic. So,
and you know who else? Big Sean Allen got an invitation to the Masters Olympia.
That's so exciting! I'm excited for him.
Oh, I know he's going to kick some ass. Imagine the first call out: Big Sean Allen, Dexter Jackson, Tony Freeman. Wouldn't that be great?
That would be great.
I don't know if it'll happen, but it would be great.
I don't know. That's quite a. That would be a great call out for him. That would be sure. That's for sure.
I would do it just for
dream come true.
I would do it just for the crowd purposes. I would. Throw fucking Sean in that middle right there. And I don't care. I'd put five guys out there with Sean Allen in the middle and then let him work his way. If he doesn't deserve it, then you move him down. But that first call out, the crowd would go crazy. He's 6'9", giant, 350 pounds on stage. And I would say, put him in the middle. He'll be screaming like a maniac. It'll be the best.
You know, he'll be so excited if he gets first call out. Oh my God.
Be the most best publicity for the show in the history of the contest. So. I think that I'm actually looking forward to seeing him up on stage May 19th, believe it or not, because
are we both planning on going to that show? I'm assuming you were planning on going, right?
I will go if Jarka takes us, brings us out to the show, you know, like she did at the rest of the press.
I got an email invitation, so okay. I'm assuming that means we're both going, I would think.
Well, you got to follow up with Jarka. I know she's a very generous person. She wants the best press coverage possible, and if she brings us out there, we will cover the show like we did her Masters, the Pro World Championships last year. We had the best coverage on the net, bar none, and we will do that again this year if she so desires us to be there. And I will be, I'll be like Sean Allen's like wrestling manager there. I'll be, putting the towel around his neck. We'll be giving him the rub down before he gets out there. We'll be psyching him up. Well, you know, not that he needs any confidence in himself to begin with. He's got way more confidence than I ever had going on stage. So it'll be fun.
That will be fun.
I have a message to all the RX, to the RX Muscle hackers we got. You know, we got these guys that have been trying to put viruses on our site. Well, did put viruses on our site for many, many months in a row. And I spent a fortune on cleaning up, you know, security, hiring security. And they're still trying to get in. And you know what the truth is, Aaron? I got an FBI record so long. These people think that they're getting away with it. I know exactly who it is. we're just accumulating record after record, more evidence. I got a file so long on the people who are doing it, and people are going to be shocked. And they won't be shocked, but the person when they get outed, so to speak, it's going to ruin their reputation in this industry for the rest of their life. So I hope they're ready to lawyer up. But we got some serious stuff on these people. I don't know why they're so stupid. They don't understand that when you hack the internet, There's a trail a mile long. You know, all you have to do is get the right people involved. And you know, I had to get the government involved. And we're going to have some breaking news in the next couple months when they come out. But again, keep happy. Keep trying to hack the site. Keep trying to, you know, cause trouble. We're just building a file. I can't wait till we get our day in court, Aaron. It's going to be, I'm going to be smiling from ear to ear. Trust me.
It's really an amazing thing because it's like, you know, obviously, the people who are doing this can't play fair. You know what I mean? Like, there's other ways to do things, and this is the worst possible way. You know?
Well, when you can't beat the people you're trying to compete with, you try to do shady stuff, or some people do at least, and it's gonna wind up biting them in the ass. It's unfortunate for them, but hopefully fortunate for us. And finally, I got the right people on the job, and. You know, it's hard to get the government involved because they think that, you know, it's a joke. But after a while, you know, you have repeated offenses, you get enough evidence, and you can, they'll get involved. And then, you know, it's only a matter of time at this point. So I put it out there. That's it. Let's move on to bigger and better things. Obviously, we got that. I talked a little with Chris a little earlier about the Orlando show this weekend. After we leave the Envision Medical, we are going to drive down to Orlando. Obviously, we'll be doing some pregame predictions. We have the whole show to cover on Friday and Saturday. Sunday, I heard we're going to go to a little bit of Disney, maybe?
Is that what you want to do? Yeah, if you want to, that would be great.
I have a late flight. Yeah, I'd like to go to, like, where did you say you went? Or isn't there, like, an animal place somewhere in Orlando there they have?
There's all kinds of shit, man. They got everything. We went there recently. Cause I always figured, you know, you got Disney and Universal Studios. I didn't realize all the things, all the different theme parks and different stuff that has grown around Disney and Universal Studios. So now they have like something for everything. Everything from water slide place. They have huge water slide places to animal stuff to SeaWorld type stuff. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah,
let's
go to see some animals. Yeah. I'm not really into the rides or anything like that, but I like the animals. So
I never liked the ride. Darielle can't because of the pregnancy thing.
No, good. So then we have no problem. No, there's no arguments in this group.
She likes them, but I don't understand. I don't even get it. Like, I've always wondered what is the appeal of like being like scared for your life with those things. But maybe that's just the Jewish in me. You know what I mean?
I think that's the Jew in me too. You know, these people, they like the adrenaline rush. They thrive on it. It's like taking morphine or something like that, I guess, for them. And to me, I don't like to be scared out of my mind. It doesn't do it for me. I don't need it. I'm living on an adrenaline rush every day of my life. So I don't need any more than that. You know, these people, how about these people that jump out of, you know what, Jews don't jump out of planes. We don't go on big rides. It's just that
Rick Collins. He was trying to convince me to get you and me to jump out one of his plane for one of his charities. I was like, I don't know.
He's out of his mind. I know. I told him
I'll do it if Dave does it because I had a feeling.
You knew I would never do it. That's why. All right, let's get to Ask Dave because I got a lot to do today. It's a busy day here. I just got back from Seattle. I got to get ready for Orlando. What do you got for me?
We got a lot. So you want to do an abbreviated segment, I remember correctly?
Yeah. Let's just.
You want to give me a number or you want to just go till you're ready to be done?
Well, just, you know, give me a couple. I'll leave it up to you.
All right. Well, I'll pick and choose. That means, guys, who's listening, a lot of questions. I mean, because I have like 20-something questions. So a lot of questions will need to be resubmitted. Just do it exactly. Send it back to me and make the topic resubmit, Ask Dave. So I'll ask it quickly. All right. Next question, let's go to Todd. Todd wants to know, there seems to be a lot of varying opinions on the use of HCG. Would you recommend using it post-cycle or during cycle? Also, given the fact that prices of HCG have skyrocketed due to the latest diet fad, are there any alternatives?
I'd say just save it for post-workout. If you save it for post-cycle, if you do that, the cost is minimal. And you'll get the best benefits. There's no reason to keep turning your body back on while you're cycling because it's just going to keep turning off again. You got to keep it on. So it's like, you know, you might as well just wait till you're done and then turn it back on. It's not like your body's going to forget how to produce, you know, testosterone and sperm. It doesn't happen, really. So I would say do your 18 to 24 week cycle, then do your HCG, your Clomid, you know, go off a little bit, go back on. And that's probably the best way to do it.
All right. Mr. Detroit wants to know, Dave, your product, what is it for the joints? Arthrolyze?
Arthrolyze. Yeah. Arthrolyze.
Arthrolyze. He spelled it wrong. Arthrolyze has done wonders for my shoulders. Do you use this product personally? And why do my shoulders still have problems?
I created it for my shoulder problem. That's why I made the product. Because, you know, the problem with the joint and repair products on the market is that they all contain pretty much the same thing, but they just don't contain enough of it. It's a dose thing. You need to take at least 4,000 milligrams of glucosamine and 4,000 milligrams of MSM per day. Most people take anywhere from 1,000 to 2,000 milligrams. And most people don't even take that. They take 500 milligrams because they're too lazy. They miss doses. So if you take a high enough dosage of the stuff, now you're giving your body the raw materials it needs to repair the joint and connective tissues. Remember, we don't eat ligaments and tendons and cartilage in our diet. So we really need to take it in supplement form. Arthrolyze will, after using it for about 3 weeks, I think you'll really notice a difference. Because once again, you have to build up, you know, you have to start giving your body the raw materials so it can start healing the joints. Now, if you have, I don't believe Arthrolyze is going to cure my arthritis in my shoulder to the point where it's going to grow back all the missing cartilage there. But I do notice that it's curtailed the progression of it. And that's a key. If you can stop the disease from getting worse, because what happens is when you have inflammatory disease in your joints, so when you have any kind of arthritis or a lack of cartilage there, it causes more inflammation. And more inflammation causes more degeneration. So once you have that first insult to the joint, it'll keep getting worse. And the worse it gets, the quicker it progresses. So if you can inhibit that or slow down that process, obviously that's the key. Now, I know Adela Garcia, you know, tore up her knee a couple years back, and she called me after when that happened, right after it happened, and she had gotten some surgery on it, and she said she needs a good joint replacement product, and she had heard mine worked real well, and I sent her a few bottles, and her doctor could not believe how fast her knee healed up, and she's been using it ever since, and she stays on it all the time. So you could talk to her if you want, and she'll tell you how good it is. And once again, it's a dose-dependent thing. I produce a product that gives you a 30-day supply of 4,000 milligrams of each ingredient per day. So that's really high.
All right. Next question, Dave, is from John Hysaw. And he wants to know, Dave, what effects... he's doing your diet, the Dave Palumbo diet. What are the effects on your diet if you just, instead of doing like a cheat meal, if you're just drinking alcohol, like if you on the weekends get, he says, shit hammered on the weekends, but you continue eating the same food and shakes, but just Friday and Saturday, you drink heavily.
Well, I don't recommend that at all. I don't think you're going to respond well to any diet, whether it be off season or pre-contest, if you're drinking 2 days a week and getting shit-faced. Because what's going to happen is you're going to have a great 5 days a week, and then you're going to undo everything you did on those 2 days. Now, you might not gain, if you're trying to diet down, you might not gain any body fat, but you might certainly lose muscle, okay? Because if you're drinking that much, you're probably missing meals. If you can somehow manage to get your meals in, obviously that's better. I would recommend not to drink alcohol. It's probably the worst thing you can put into your body if you're trying to, you know, maintain muscle mass.
He also asked Dave that he's heard that if you have two or three drinks, protein will not be absorbed during that time. Is that true?
Nah, I don't know. I don't go by that. I mean, the few times I went out drinking a little bit, I would either diet or off season, I would go home and have a protein shake, and I'd always feel better in the morning when I woke up because it's like I was replacing what I was losing. A lot of people, see what happens is people get so drunk, they go home and they pass out. My body was never like that. I always got home and I was like wide awake. I almost couldn't sleep. So I'd try to rehydrate. I would drink a protein shake with maybe like a waxy maze. I put some Gatorade in there for electrolytes. And then I would take some, all my vitamins that I normally take. And for some reason, that always seemed to undo the hangover effect I would, you know, normally get the next day.
You know, Jose Raymond told me that when he was natural, or when he was competing, I don't know if I should say that or not, but when he was natural, he would drink a bottle of red wine every night while he was dieting.
Really?
And and it didn't. He doesn't do this anymore.
It's, but a lot of
he
wine.
Did that at the time. Yeah, a bottle every night. He would drink a bottle of wine. Pretty crazy, huh?
Well, you know, a lot of people, that's a lot of calories. A lot of people couldn't get away with it. I guess maybe he was adjusting his diet such that he was allowing for the caloric intake.
He was doing 2 hours on the step mill every day, too. Well,
that's, why, yeah, that's probably why. But I don't recommend it. Look, it's not going to help you. It's not going to help you. You know, certainly. That's for sure.
Anonymous. This is anonymous, Dave. How can someone have high levels of muscle enzymes in the blood yet creatine? Isn't creatine kinase what doctors measure when looking at muscle enzyme levels? What is the difference between creatine kinase and creatine?
Let's talk about, he's asking me two different things. When he says enzyme levels, he means creatine kinase enzyme levels, or does he mean liver enzyme levels, you think?
Doesn't say.
All right, let's just go over what everything is. In your muscle cells, when you take any kind of creatine monohydrate supplement, or your body produces its own creatine inside the muscle cell, the creatine will then attach itself to a phosphate molecule, okay? And that's known as creatine phosphate, okay? And that's what enables the ATP to regenerate quickly in the cells. That process that goes on inside the muscle cells of turning creatine into creatine phosphate is initiated by an enzyme known as CPK, creatine phosphokinase. Now, if you're in the gym and you're breaking down a lot of muscle tissue working out, that CPK enzyme can leak into the bloodstream. So when you notice very high levels of CPK in the bloodstream, it usually means you had a tough workout the day before, you've been training real hard. Now, there's also what they measure known as liver enzymes, or they call them liver enzymes. These enzymes are SGOT, SGPT, and alkaline phosphatase. All these enzymes are found in liver cells. So when the doctors take blood work from a bodybuilder and they notice high liver enzymes, they get nervous. They think it's from steroids or you're doing something toxic to your liver. The truth is that those enzymes are also found in the muscle cells. They're metabolic enzymes. So when you break down muscle tissue, you'll see those enzymes high as well, in really, especially bodybuilders that have a lot of muscle mass on them. The less muscle you have, the lower those enzyme levels will be because you don't have as much of the enzyme present. Also, it's harder to break down as much muscle. Usually when liver enzymes are elevated, CPK enzymes will also be elevated. But that's not to be confused with creatinine levels. Now, when someone takes blood creatinine levels, that's a measure of the waste product of creatine. And that's usually an indicator of kidney function because the kidney's job is to clear or get rid of the creatinine from the blood. Creatinine and BUN, blood urea nitrogen. When those levels are elevated, that usually means your kidneys are not functioning optimally. So creatinine levels should always be normal. It has nothing to do really with working out per se. Sometimes if you take a creatine supplement, especially one that doesn't get absorbed too well, like I know my Creolize product is like 100% solubilized, you don't really see elevated creatinine levels. Some people you see elevated creatinine if they use a lot of monohydrate, like 10 to 20 grams a day, because a lot of it's getting wasted. But a bodybuilder who's hard training should have normal creatinine levels, but they will more than likely have elevated CPK and/or liver enzyme levels. I don't really see many doctors checking CPK levels anymore because it varies so much, like I said, according to especially if you work out.
All right. Next question is from, I don't know how you say this one. Let's see. Farazana Kataka.
I think you should name your son that. That's a good name.
Farazana
Singerman.
How about a middle name? Can I use Kataka as the middle name?
Yes, definitely. I like it. Works.
He wants to know, Dave, has Dr. Scott Conley ever taken anabolic steroids?
I have no idea. Why do people ask me these ridiculous questions? Like, I know if he's... Who the hell knows?
Tell us the truth, Dave.
I have no idea. I know he's not against them, but I don't know if he's ever taken... I don't think he has. I really don't. I don't believe he...
At one point in time, very good shape, so yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. Remember when he was showing his abs in one of the pictures?
Right, but that's when he was really... he was younger, number one. You got to remember, he got sick like several years back, so he's been still battling that chronic sickness. And plus, he's older now. He's in his 60s, but that was back when he was in his late 40s, and he looked great. And that was a lot to do with increased protein. He trained hard. He ate right, and I don't think he ever has, to be honest with you. But I don't know. Huh. Ask him.
Okay, next time I see him, I'm going to go right up and ask him. Okay, next question. James Poulos wants to know, Dave, if somebody was dieting on the keto diet and they had signs of hypoglycemia, could they pop a glucose tab or would that be detrimental to the diet?
It's okay. You can do that. I think that that's better than eating, you know, having five scoops of protein to try to bring your you know. I've seen guys who go low, they try to eat more protein because you can do that. Because remember, the amino acids will turn into glucose. But think about how many more calories you can bring in. So I always say you're better off taking like a small glucose tab to bring blood sugar up if that works. You know, I remember when I was dating Colette, she was a type 1 diabetic. And every time her blood sugar would drop, especially while she was dieting, she would eat like a jar of peanut butter. I'm like, why don't you just take a glucose tab? She's like, I don't want to take any sugar in. I said, yeah, but you're going to take in like 2 grams of sugar from the tab. Instead, you're eating, you know, 1,000 calories in peanut butter. So, of course, she would always sabotage her diet because of that. And I never understood why she
did that. I remember all that, all the drama over peanut butter.
Yeah, I've thrown peanut butter jars against the wall because she was, I caught her, like, she would have, like, stashes of it, like, under the bed and in the drawers and stuff like that, in her under her computer bag, you know. I had to be, like, a detective almost when she was dieting.
That's funny. All right, next question. This is from Amir Hegazia. Amir wants to know, what's the maximum low-intensity cardio that you would recommend somebody do per day on a diet? Say at 100 to 110 beats per minute without risk of losing muscle or interfering with the weightlifting. He does 3 hours a week of weightlifting. Mm-hmm. He gives his statistics. Basically, what he wants to know is how much is the most cardio that he can do if he has unlimited time and he wants to get as lean as possible quickly?
I've had people do as much as 3 hours a day, you know, but that's usually just at the very, very end, you know, of a diet. Once again, you don't just start doing tons of cardio. You start out with 30 minutes and you build, you know, as your body stops losing weight, you start adding more cardio. So this is a process that will be built upon over, you know, weeks and weeks and weeks. If you just try to do 3 hours of cardio, if you have never even done an hour straight, you're never going to make it. You're going to pass out. But if you've been doing an hour for 3, 4, 5 weeks, and then you add another 10 minutes, another 15 minutes, as you build up to 3 hours, it doesn't become so unbearable. But I wouldn't recommend, doing it. But if necessary, before a show, I've had people do it and we've worked very successfully. As long as you keep the intensity low, you don't lose muscle.
All right, let's do one more question. Okay. This is As I Lay Dying from the board. My question is about protein sources. I consume a ton of eggs, and I mean a lot. I eat around 30 to 40 a day. I would call eggs my main source of protein. My post-workout meal for the longest time has been 12 to 18 egg whites scrambled with 3 slices of Ezekiel bread. This meal is consumed 1 hour after I take my 50 gram whey isolate, 50 gram waxy maize post-workout shake. Dave, is the egg a good source of protein for your first whole meal post-workout? Could I survive off of just eggs if I needed to? Do I have to consume 2 chicken or beef meals a day along with the 2 shakes?
I don't know if you guys remember, but Howard Stern has a guy by the name of Scott the Engineer who works for him.
And of course,
Scott, a number of years back, Scott the Engineer, who was always fat and out of shape, he smoked cigarettes. Howard bet him, like they brought him into the studio and they tried to make him do push-ups, and Howard bet he couldn't do 2 push-ups. He couldn't do 2 push-ups. And Mr. G called him up and said, hey, I'm gonna train you and I'm gonna diet you for this contest. Howard's gonna give you, you're gonna bet $5,000 that you can do 17 push-ups or something like that. And Mr. G started training, but Mr. G put him on it. Eventually, they replaced Mr. G with some other, you know, celebrity trainer because Mr. G was probably out of his mind.
It was somebody from India or something. It was some Indian trainer.
No, it was that guy Radu.
It was like Sharu or something. Radu.
Celebrity trainer. So Radu trained, but Mr. G put Scott the Engineer on an egg-only diet all day long. He had Scott eating eggs, you know, like whole eggs, and he ate them like 5 or 6 times a day, and he lost a ton of weight doing it. Eggs happen to be a very good source of protein. They're very complete. When you look at the biological value, the chart they have, if you look at a whole egg, it's a perfect score of 100, just like whey protein isolate is. So I think it's an excellent source of protein, and I love the fats in there, especially if you use omega-3 eggs, you get even a better quality of fat. And if you want to eat them all day, you can. Now, some people get a little gassy if you eat too many eggs because they got a lot of sulfur in them. But if it doesn't bother you, knock yourself out. You could do a lot worse. Trust me.
All right. You ready to do Stump the Jumbo?
Yes.
All right. Let's go right to the question here. The first one is from Tony Locero. Lo Cicero or something?
Yeah, he asks a lot of these questions. Lo Cicero. You always ask me that. You always screw it up every single time.
Yeah, I know I do. That's why I thought I had it right at first. I was proud of myself, but oh well. What are the only three fruits native to North America?
Three fruits native.
That are native.
That means we did not transplanted or that they actually do grow here?
They actually do grow here. And he wants me to give you a hint.
Okay.
A tomato is not one of them.
Okay. As we know, they are fruits. I got someone calling on the other line. Isn't that amazing?
A lot of phone calls.
Yeah, I've been getting a lot of faxes. You know what? I'm really sick, Aaron, of these fucking faxes that are like junk mail faxes. I don't know
you
when
getting
this,
those?
This I don't know when this started, but I'm really pissed off about it. I got to be honest with you. All I get is junk fax mails all day long. I don't know how to stop it. So anyone out there listening who knows how to stop, please, please.
Somebody gave your phone number to one of these services, I guess.
I don't know. I got it somehow. I don't even answer the phone. That's the funny thing. It's only used for faxes. All right, let's get to the thing. I know two because my friend's dad used to grow stuff in his backyard, and he actually told me this. But I'm one of them. I don't know. I do know Concord grapes are definitely indigenous to this. That's why they call Concord grapes are indigenous to this continent, I guess you could say. And I know blueberries are, because those were back from the Indian times. Is that right?
Those two? You got two of them. You're missing one.
Now, I have to try to figure out the third one, because I'm not really sure about the third one, but I always go back to, whenever I try to figure out what's indigenous to this continent, I always go back to Thanksgiving. Okay, because Thanksgiving is when the pilgrims came over here. There was no transportation of things back and forth at this point. And, you know, corn would be obviously something big, but that's not a fruit. That's a vegetable, so it can't be. Although I think corn might technically be a fruit, so it could possibly be that, but I don't think so. And sweet potatoes is not a fruit. We know that it's a legume that grows in the ground. And the only other thing I know from Thanksgiving, and I don't even know if this is a fruit, it would be a cranberry. So if a berry is, I guess a berry is a fruit. I'll say cranberry.
Cranberry, is that your final answer?
That is my final answer.
You are correct, Dave Palumbo.
All right, see?
Nobody stumps the Jumbo tonight. Tony, Tony again. He keeps shooting and missing every time.
You got to go back to Thanksgiving. Trust me. Whenever you want to know if something's indigenous, you go back to Thanksgiving. That's the key.
You put the cranberries on the turkey, don't you?
They cut the turkey without me? You cut the turkey.
Is that what your dad would say?
No, that's from Something in America. I can't remember the name of the movie. I always forget. There's a great scene where the two Jewish families, the one Jewish family was a little late one year, and they started without him because everyone was hungry. And when he got in there, he's like, "You cut the turkey without me? How could you? We're leaving." And they all left. That was the last time they talked, because they cut the turkey. Never cut the turkey until I get there, Aaron. Remember that.
Gotcha.
You'll
be here on Thursday.
Yeah, I will.
I won't cut the turkey.
All right.
So if people want to email Dave a question, ask Dave a question, email me, Jubacca, Jubacca at rxmuscle.com. Title it Ask Dave, and if you want it to be anonymous, just request to be anonymous on it. If you want to Stump the Jumbo, put Stump the Jumbo in the title. Ask the question, provide an answer, a link, the size of your t-shirt, your address. You can't be anonymous on this one. There you go, Dave.
The movie, by the way, is called it was Barry Levinson's Avalon. So don't try to send me a Stump the Jumbo question. You got to watch Avalon if you've never seen it, because it's about a Jewish, I think a Jewish and Italian family that mesh, so I can kind of relate to it, and it's some really funny stuff in there. Actually, Lou Jacoby was the actor that says, "You cut the turkey without me?" And it's a great scene. It's one of my favorite scenes in the movie. So if you guys want to check it out, watch a really good movie, Avalon. Trust me on this one. Excellent, excellent sleeper that no one knows about. Anyway, Aaron, we are going to go to commercial break. When we come back, we have Nathan DeTracy, who is making his pro debut at the New York Pro, coming on the show. I just saw him this past weekend at the Emerald Cup, looking big and freaky in that 212 class. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on rxmuscle.com.
There are three aspects to athletic performance: energy, endurance, and recovery. And there is one nutrient that enhances all three: oxygen. Maximize explosiveness and power. Increase reps. Improve muscular endurance. Dramatically reduce recovery times and enhance mental focus. No matter what your sport, no matter what your level, it's all about oxygen. Check out oxygenforenergy.com. 95% pure oxygen for serious athletes. That's oxygen, the number 4, energy.com.
Visit ExtremeFitNutrition.com, the newest and hottest supplement super site. We carry all the major brands, including Species, MHP, BPI, BSN, Optimal Nutrition, Gasparri, and many more. Low on cash? No problem. ExtremeFitNutrition.com offers competitive prices that our competitors can't beat. Now you can supplement your diet without having to supplement your bank account. Here's some of our specials. Buy $100 worth of Species products or Metabolic Nutrition and get a free t-shirt and bag. Buy $200 worth of BSN products and receive a BSN t-shirt and shaker bottle. Check out ExtremeFitNutrition.com for more great deals. Visit us at the 2011 Olympia Expo. Stop by booth number 322 and meet IFBB pros Bethany Wagner, Guy Cisternino, Tiana Gonzalez, and Gina Trociano. Remember, there's only one Extreme. Visit ExtremeFitNutrition.com now.
What's up, everyone? This is Dave Palumbo with RxMuscle.com. First things first, thanks for supporting our site. And speaking of support, we couldn't do what we do without the support of our advertisers. So I feel it's very important at this time to ask you to support our advertisers by purchasing their great products and by clicking on their banner ads right on this very page. I also want to point out the great deal that my friends over at SciFit Nutrition are offering. Buy one, get one free for their new pre-workout formula, Dark Energy. Now, let me tell you something about Dark Energy. Number one, it comes in six great flavors. And from what I hear from my friend Ian Lauer, the editor-in-chief of RX Muscle's sister site, mensphysique.com, his workouts are literally in the stratosphere. This is a guy who's got so much energy in the gym, and I never knew where it came from. SciFit's new Dark Energy. Buy one, get one free. Click on that banner ad on the right side of the screen and support the people who support us.
Tad the Diet Coach, contest prep guru for bodybuilding, bikini, physique, and figure. Go to tadthedietcoach.com, an expert on nutrition and exercise science with over 20 years' experience in fitness and bodybuilding. Tad the Diet Coach offers a complete scientific and individually focused contest prep or a full off-season plan that is custom-tailored for your own unique needs. This kind of diet coaching is a premium coaching service that includes weekly conference calls, individually based diet and supplement plans, specific cardio and workout schedules, and constant contact during the contest prep or off-season process. Tad the Diet Coach, author of the Diet Recipe Cookbook, and also the creator of the Coach's Choice Whey Protein Isolate, which is the absolute best-tasting premier isolate on the market. Tad the Diet Coach will get you to the next level. Go now to tadthedietcoach.com or send an email to info@tadthedietcoach.com.
Out on the edge of fitness and endurance, there's a line. It's where winners and losers are defined. That's the narrow place where Gamma O gives the serious competitor the extra step. That extra kick nobody knew was there. Gamma O raises your testosterone level naturally and legally. So before you step up to the line one more time, be prepared to bring it with Gamma O, the all-natural testosterone booster. Gamma O is available nationwide at general nutrition centers or on the web at GammaO.com.
Fusion Bodybuilding makes bodybuilding strongest supplements, and they're committed to giving back to you. Fusion Bodybuilding not only want to promote the bodybuilding lifestyle, but they also want to help build the sport. Bodybuilding is all they do. It's their obsession. You know the feeling. That's why you're here. Visit Fusion Bodybuilding at FusionBodybuilding.com or join in on the conversation on the Fusion Bodybuilding fan page on Facebook, where you'll find IFBB Pro Q&As, contest giveaways, and nothing but in-depth bodybuilding talk. Fusion Bodybuilding, bodybuilding's strongest supplements. Head over to FusionBodybuilding.com today.
P28 High Protein Bread is the official bread of RX Muscle. Are you looking to incorporate more protein into your meals or just want to enjoy bread again? Then look no further. Try the 100% natural P28 High Protein Bread. P28 High Protein Bread is a formulated revolutionary breakthrough product. Packed with whey protein isolate, 14 grams of protein per slice, 12 grams of carbs, 8 essential amino acids, and made with 100% whole wheat. Fear bread no more. Build a better body with P28. Order today at High Protein. HighProteinBread.com. B28 is also now available at Bodybuilding.com and many other retailers. Order now. HighProteinBread.com. B28 Bread. RX Muscle approved.
Isolate and grow with the Isolator. The Isolator is a unique device that allows you to target muscle groups like never before. Ever wanted to get that perfect contraction right at the belly of the muscle to stimulate new growth? The Isolator can do just that. Can't seem to bring up your chest or back? The Isolator will help you get those new muscle gains. The Isolator is hands-free, so your grip isn't affected. That means if you have any nagging injuries, such as joint or rotator cuff pain, or problems with your grip, then the Isolator will have you back in the gym today. The Isolator follows your natural range of motion without being locked into a machine or at the mercy of those old school hand grips and rigid pull down bars. That means you can still do bench presses, pull downs, rows, flies, and whatever other movement you normally do, but with greater stimulation and a lot less stress on your joints. To find out more about the Isolator, visit isolatorfitness.com. Check out the videos and see the Isolator in action. Isolate and grow with the Isolator. Visit isolatorfitness.com.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Heavy Muscle.
Our next guest is the 2009 NPC Nationals Middleweight Champion, the new IFBB Pro, Nathan DeTracy. Welcome to the show.
How you doing?
Well, we haven't really talked since your Nationals win, and you've kind of been missing in action. It's been about 2.5 years now, and I wasn't sure you were ever going to get up on a bodybuilding stage. And here I run into you at the Emerald Cup this year, and you're getting ready for New York Pro. Talk to me a little bit about what you've been doing the last couple of years.
Well, I kind of hit out a little bit. I went through some personal things, and then kind of took a little bit different direction in my life. I owned a gym, Evolution, and had been doing that for 6 years. And to be honest, it was my dream growing up and something that I really wanted to do, but it was taking so much time and so much money to keep it going. It turned out to be all about how much money I could make and less about how many people I could help.
People don't realize that a gym business is a very, very difficult, time-consuming, emotionally draining business. Especially if you're trying to do something on the side like bodybuilding.
Yeah. And I'm friends with some guys that own some big time gyms and they're just very cutthroat people and they're very good business people. And to be honest, like I went into it kind of blind and young and I didn't really know a lot about the business. And so, you know, I knew it from the bodybuilding standpoint and thought I could just bring that into the society and do some good, but it's about running a business. And so, you know, I kind of found that out and unfortunately had some business partners that kind of brought me down. And so luckily I had actually brought in AdvoCare. It's a supplement line. And there started slowly building that into my integrating it into nutritional programs that I was doing. And that really took off. And it's the type of business that can you build other people underneath you so that they're helping other people and making money as well. And so what I did is I started creating nutritional programs to go along with the supplements. And from there, it just took off and it exploded and allowed me actually to walk away from the gym business. And so now I'm doing that full time and it's been awesome.
We'll get back to that in a second. I just want to give a little context history on you. A lot of people don't realize you're one of the 30 NPC Emerald Cup overall champions. In 2007, you won that light heavyweight in the overall there. 2008, you won the middleweight class at the USA Championships, and then obviously the following year, that's when we were working together for the USA and the Nationals, you won the middleweight class and got that pro card. Obviously, back then, you only weighed 176 pounds on stage, and the New York Pro, obviously, you know, the weight class is 212, so obviously, I'm sure you know you needed a couple years to put on some size. Getting back to the gym business, you know, a lot of us get into the whole realm of personal training and being in the gym business because we really love training and we want to kind of pack pass that passion on to people. And obviously, if you can get paid while you're doing it, that's great as well. But I think you made a smart transition because now you're doing what you really like, which is educating people, which is explaining to them how to train properly, diet properly, take the right supplements. And you're really not tied down to that albatross around your neck, so to speak, that we all know very well. Do you feel like you've had a burden lifted off you?
Oh, for sure. In that sense, it's made my life so much better, man. Like I said, I've gone through some things that I needed to change in my life and just kind of become a better person. But as far as that, it's when you don't have that, I gotta make $30,000 up front here to pay for my rent, and then
every
I can
month.
Think about the rest of the people. You know, that's how it turned out to be. It was like, what can I come up with that can make more money? And it was just time for dollars. Mm. And so now with this business, it's more of a residual income where if I want to step away for 2 weeks, I'm still making the same amount of money. And if I decide I want to continue to make more, then I can put more time in. So
do you feel that you're so successful at Avacare because of the fact that you are so passionate about what you do and knowledgeable in that sense?
Passion, yeah, that, but in a sense, I think it hurts me. I think I really, to be honest, I deal with the average people now. I still do have a lot of people that come to me for nutritional programs and for bodybuilding and physique and bikini and all that, but I really don't work with them unless they want to take on Avacare and learn it as a business to help other people now. So I've kind of transitioned away from that. But, you know, the people that I work with are normal people. So for me, it's hard walking up to them. They don't want, I mean, in the bodybuilding world, I'm not a freak. I'm not that big. I'm 212 as an average guy. But in the normal world, that's still, it's intimidating to somebody that's heavy or, you know, so I really have to get down on a personal level. And I really had to learn. You know, as a bodybuilder, I used to go into the gym, have my headphones on, and I would lift weights and I would stare at my hands or whatever in between. I wasn't there to make friends, where now I walk around, I do a set, and I look up at people and I talk to them. So it's really, it's helped me to grow as a person and to open up to society and smile. And at first, it's weird if I go into a different gym that I'm not used to. It kind of catches people off guard because they're not used to somebody actually being nice to them, you know, that maybe they're looking up to or they want to be like. So it creates a lot of relationships. But for the Emerald Cup, I guess the coolest part about that was a week before, I was up at a 24-hour fitness, and this kid just did that. I looked up to him and smiled at him, and I could tell, you know, something was up with him. He had a lot of scars and stuff. So he came up, and we started talking a little bit, and found out he, first of all, has a huge passion for knowing everything about nutrition. But I got to talking to him, and 4 years ago, he got this type of cancer, and they gave him a 10% chance to live. And they say if he makes it to 5 years of remission, then he's in the clear. But I got to bring him backstage and meet Branch and, you know, meet all the guys and show him what bodybuilding was like, and that's his dream. And to me, that now I'm using bodybuilding for that type of thing, which needs a lot more for me than to get on stage and do well.
You probably understand now what I used to tell you all the time is I always enjoy training and getting the guys who are like the real amateurs, the newbies, the people who want to just do body transformation. I always get more pleasure out of that because it's so grateful to you for what they're doing, and you can tell that you've made such a change in their life afterwards that there's some kind of like redeeming quality to what you're doing, you know?
Exactly.
Do you think that bodybuilders are too introverted into themselves, and do you think that's a negative aspect of our sport, that maybe people think that we're like these mean people into ourselves?
I don't know. The older I get, the more I'm opening up myself, and I was always just a shy guy. I never had a thought of being, you know, I'm the best or anything. Like, I was always surprised when I won and that type of thing. So I don't know how other people thought of me, but I definitely think that about some of the other guys. And you know, the older I get, the more I'm trying to make, like Dave Patterson, he's kind of just like he does all the routines for a lot of the guys and the girls, and he's been around the industry for a long time. Not a big name outside of this area, but helps out a lot of people. I've been in the industry for 10 years and never even talked to him, and just kind of always give him the nod as I go by. Yeah. I never say a word, but he helped me with my music, and I just kind of went out of my way because now I'm trying to meet more people and just, you know, kind of get tied in a little bit more. And so, I don't know, it's hard to tell. I mean, you're always going to have some of those guys that just think they're the shit, and then you're going to have other guys that probably are just quiet, and they used to be small guys, and they're not used to being in the spotlight. So it probably goes back and forth.
You think it's an insecurity issue with some guys that they just think that they're uncomfortable?
Yeah, I think so.
Let's talk about competition for a second. When you won the USA, and then when you won the Nationals, you were probably the most dominant middleweight, I would say, on the amateur ranks. You know, everyone was fearing you, and you had that ridiculous conditioning. You know, people just, you know, it was kind of like game over. You won unanimously both shows. Do you intend to bring that into the New York Pro show on May 19th, that same level of conditioning? And what do you think you'll weigh on the stage coming up from the middleweight 176 mark?
Yeah, I mean, definitely, I have to say this weekend has helped me get my mind back on track because I didn't use you for this show, and so I didn't really know what to expect. The kind of diet I'm doing is a lot more carbs, and it's really, I talked to you a little bit about it, it's really up and down with your emotions and with your blood sugar level and that kind of thing, and so you go from feeling really good to really shitty, and it's just not consistent like when I was doing it with you. So I haven't known what to expect, and so I don't know, for with you, it seemed like it was balls out. I knew I was going to do as much cardio as it was going to take to get there, and on this one, it seems like you're trying to allow the carb fluctuations to kind of do a little bit more of the weight loss. Mm-hmm. But seeing you and stage and seeing pictures of myself, because you always see yourself and how much I've lost 30 pounds so far, and so I felt like I was on my way, but then I saw myself up on stage and pictures, and I'm like, I got a long ways to go. So I've been hitting it really hard since. And so I still feel like I have enough time. That's my goal. I've done what I could do in the off season. So now I feel like I like this part. It's a sprint to the finish line, and it's whoever can work the hardest and not, you know, consistently give in and just keep working as hard as you can. I plan on being the leanest guy on stage.
Yeah, you always you like to suffer at the end. I have to give it to you because some people just can't handle that pain, and you seem to thrive on it. So I wouldn't count you out. Now you got to go up against the likes of like the Jose Raymonds, and luckily I think Kevin English is doing the Open, but you never know with him. How do you think you'll stack up against him? Is it intimidating for you to go up against these guys, or do you feel like, man, I'm finally going to get compared to some of these top pros? This is something I've been looking forward to.
To be honest, I don't ever look at the magazines. Occasionally somebody will throw a picture up on Facebook and I'll look, and then I start comparing, but I try to stay out of that. I do. I think I actually told you this the day after the show when you interviewed me, is I've always looked at Flex Lewis's as physique is kind of what I wanted to go after. Mm-hmm. I think we're kind of similar. I think obviously now he's a little bit bigger than me, but he's obviously not competing. But I have a picture of him up on a wall, and as I cut down, I compare myself to that. But that's about it.
Yeah, I would say you probably have more of a Jose Raymond upper body, I would think, because you guys are. I think you're taller than he is, though. I don't think.
He's kind of stubby. Like he has thick legs and a thick back. So I don't know. I don't know how. To be honest, I have no idea how I'm going to stack up with these guys. I don't like my physique in the off season. I mean, I'm a typical white guy where until you get really lean, you don't look really good. So, I think like Branch Warren up on stage was a good. He just competed 10 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago, and looked amazing. But kind of looks, you know.
Yeah.
You take a black guy and he goes up there for the most part. It doesn't matter what conditioning they're in, you know. So
the structure too. I mean, you actually remind me of a smaller Branch Warren. You kind of had that like thick, you know, stocky look. But when you get really, really grainy hard, you look, you know, very impressive. And I think that,
So it's hard to tell in off season, you know, where I'm going to be. I have no idea. Like I said, I'm just going to come in as lean as possible and see where I stand. It's when when I was doing the guest closing, is for me, it's embarrassing because, you know, when you're up on a national stage or you're doing a show, you know, when you turn around, like, people are going to be like, ooh, that, man, that looks awesome. And I'm not there yet. So, yeah. So it's like, you don't even want to, I don't even want to turn around and do certain poses, but that's how it is.
I always tell people it's good to go up and guest pose prior to competing because, you know, it gives you some stage experience and some stage savvy, if you may, and that always helps as well. You can kind of critique yourself and say, oh, this is what I should have done here, or I should have looked turned here, or I should have pulled it in here, and I think it's for good for constructive purposes. Talk to me a little bit once again about, let's go back to your business for a minute, because you are making a lot of money from Advocare now. I mean, you've been doing it for a number of years. What would you do if a company approached you and said, hey, I want to give you a big contract to endorse my products? Would you turn them down because of that?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I have control of this situation. That's the biggest thing, and that's eventually how I would like to get into the bodybuilding industry, is show them that they can create a security, because you're with any company, and there's a whole array of different things that I can talk about. But one thing is, you know, you and me talk about, but that you stand behind us, is there's so many companies that have these blends in the products, and their companies, it costs a lot because the FDA doesn't really approve it. They approve the company itself, but they don't go back and check all the individual supplements, and you can run into issues where you have these distributors that are saying, okay, I want this product in there, and they're going to go out and get the cheapest thing. Well, that's not always the best thing, and it also depends on how they all synergistically work together, right?
Sure.
Like you were talking about how, you know, stimulants are not the best thing for each situation, but they're a top seller. You know,
well, yeah, you know what people do? They put proprietary formula, they put nothing of the real ingredients, and they put tons of stimulants in to override that fact, so you think you're getting a lot of something in there, and then it cheapens down the product. Is Advocare a very reputable product line?
Yeah, they use a company called Informed Choice that they send out to that tests all their products, and so we're actually one of the only companies. The full line is allowed through the Olympic Standards Committee. We can be in all the NFL locker rooms, pro locker rooms. So it's opened it up to be a very safe product that I can feel comfortable no matter what pushing to anybody for any situation. And then we have 9 doctors, very renowned doctors in their own medical industries that come together that don't just work for Advocare, that build the products. And so, like, for instance, Stanley Diedrich he was part of the invention of intravenous feeding. So he broke down the amino acids that they use in the hospitals to do in drip bags. Mm-hmm. And so he creates our amino acids. So our amino acids are the same type of grade as they use in hospitals.
Absolutely.
And so it is dealing with it's more expensive to start out with, but we can show you how to do a wholesale account and get a discount that way, and then also build a business where it can either pay for your supplements or you can start helping out other people. And so from the bodybuilding world, what I would like to do is teach people how to build businesses, because you have all these people that are following around these pros and doing booths and all that type of thing, but really they don't get paid anything. They have no security.
Sure. You're right.
Right. And this teaches them how to build a residual income. And this company has been around for 20 years. And it's not going anywhere.
How do people get in touch with you if they want to get involved in the business aspect of it?
They can go to Nathan@advocarebydesign.com.
Okay. Do you have a Facebook page as well?
Yeah, just Nathan D. Tracy.
Okay, there you go. If anyone's interested in learning the business, I'm sure Nathan will be happy to teach you. Talk to me a little bit about, I want to get into relationships, because I always discuss this with bodybuilders. I've had, you know, fallen relationships because of this. You were married, you know, last time I talked to you, your relationship broke down at some point. What happened? Was it bodybuilding related? Was it just life happening, or what happened with that whole thing?
I don't want to talk a lot about it because I respect her a lot, and it really had nothing to do with I guess in the bodybuilding industry, as you go through all this changes in hormones and stuff, like, you definitely are going to feel different ways. And but for me, a lot of it was I felt like I had some issues. My parents died. There was just things that I saw. I guess for me, I felt like I was failing in life because my business wasn't doing good, and we worked together, and she quit her job, came on, helped me with the gym, and we were just around each other all the time, and I guess weren't filling each other's needs, and we're blaming each other for everything that was going wrong, you know?
Wow.
And so it was a tough thing. It's something that, we're not best friends now, but we still talk, and I care a lot about, you know, what happens to her and who she is. And I've been very fortunate, and I have a really good, supportive girlfriend now, and she's the one that introduced me into Avicare, so we work together, so that works well. But
here's a good, I want your input on this, because I know my answer on the whole thing. Does financial burdens wreck relationships, or can they wreck relationships? Is money a really big issue in relationships?
You know, I'm into studies and I've read a lot about that kind of stuff, and also have even gone towards going to church and that kind of stuff. So, but I think that's a huge part. I think also for a male that feels like he has to support his family, and then if you feel like you're not doing that, and then you're also into something like bodybuilding that sucks out so much money, and you're not getting a lot back from it. It's tough. It can totally create that.
How does one go about, and I'm not saying you're an expert, I'm asking your opinion on this, how does one go about being a professional bodybuilder, balancing that with your personal life, so that you can actually have a personal life, you can make a living, and you can be a bodybuilder? Is it compatible, in your opinion?
I think so. I think you have to. You definitely, if you're a good bodybuilder, there has to be definitely some stability there, because and as a wife, I mean, that to be supportive and allow all that attention. I mean, there's all different kinds of people. You know, me personally, I've always been kind of around a woman that's been very secure in herself, so. So I'm not used to that insecurity, but I've seen it a lot, and I've seen it in guys too that date professional women. They're getting a lot of attention, and it just, I guess it also depends how professional you are with that attention.
So it's how you deal with, I guess, the fame is what you're saying.
Yeah.
But I mean, we do see a lot of relationship breakdowns in this industry. We do see a lot of guys that have problems with paying the bills and not being able to, you know, balance that, the burden of bodybuilding with actually, you know, making a living and then actually having a family. I mean, to a certain degree. Mm-hmm.
To be honest, you don't see a lot of fellas that have good families. I can think of Mark Dugdale.
Yeah, Mark. Yeah, you're right. He's good. Yeah.
I can't think of a lot of them that I personally know that they have families. That's a tough thing, because I think for the most part, you have guys that really take bodybuilding serious are guys usually that genetically weren't gifted or they were insecure at some point, and so they use that and they funnel that energy, and then all of a sudden they're getting all this attention, right? And that's tough to deal with when maybe you growing up in high school, you weren't getting all the girls, and now everybody's looking at you in awe.
Yeah.
You know, that's a tough thing.
That's right. Well, it's a tough thing to mentally deal with, because it's like you're almost like 12 years old again, you know, 14 years old again, going through puberty. You know, bodybuilders, I'm going to make a controversial statement. I want you to tell me if you agree or disagree. Are most bodybuilders just lazy? Is that why they maybe don't make a living?
That's a loaded question, because if they're good bodybuilders, you can't say they're lazy, because look at how they torture themselves.
Right.
You know? So I guess it's priorities. Like, is there a priority to be the best bodybuilder? Money, or do they have the drive to find a way to utilize their skill to make money? Right. Mm-hmm. So, how do you answer that?
Or is the real issue here that the bodybuilders just don't get paid enough, and because we don't get paid enough, they have to not only be bodybuilders and have be focused on that, but they also have to have a profession to go along with that to pay the bills almost.
Yeah, that's true. And I guess, I mean, I don't know a lot about like UFC fighting and stuff, but I think it's probably similar to that, where before it became mainstream and now all these guys are getting these huge contracts, you know, you're beating yourself up and not being able to pay the bills.
Yeah,
but I'm sure it's very similar to that.
But because bodybuilders have to know that this is never going to be probably a mainstream sport where we're going to be paid millions and millions and millions, or even maybe one or two guys might make don't you think you have to have a contingency plan, or you have to find a niche for yourself in this industry? I always tell people this. Everyone can find their own niche. Obviously, you found it with Advocare. I found it with, Species Nutrition and RX Muscle. But, I mean, people have to find a niche for themselves. And if they don't, then they're almost doing a disservice to themselves, because at some point, even the ones that are making good money are not going to make money anymore.
Yeah, that's it. You have to have a game plan. You have to look down the road and say, okay, do you want to be a trainer forever? Because any bodybuilder can step in and train people, sure, right? They train themselves. But do you want to sacrifice time for dollars for the rest of your life? Because you can get paid pretty good if you're working independently, but you're spending your whole day training other people and listening to all their laundry, right?
Sure.
Or are you going to come up with some kind of idea that is going to start sustaining what you're doing now, plus be able to add on and have some kind of lifestyle that you want later on when you can't step on stage?
Very valid point, and something that I think a lot of bodybuilders are going to have to contemplate at some point. And if anyone wants to contact you to get involved with Advocare, they have your contact information. I also want to make one more announcement that we filmed Nathan in the Iron Asylum at David Barton's gym that I've been raving about all show. And we'll get that up probably a little later this week, early next week, as soon as we get that interview done with you. And obviously, best of luck at the New York Pro. We're going to see you out there, and I think that people are going to be shocked when they see you on stage.
I hope so. Thanks, and I appreciate it. It's always fun to talk to you, and you've always been great to me. Appreciate that.
That was Nathan DeTracy. A great guy, great competitor. Really turned his life around. He's making good money now. Congratulations to him. I always like to see bodybuilders do well and pursue their dreams. Hopefully he'll come in that top three spot. The New York Pro 212 class is going to be a tough competition, but he's got a lot of mass on him. I hope if he brings the conditioning that we've seen, he's going to do very well. And it was a great show. And once again, I want to thank Brad and Elaine Craig for a great weekend. I had a great time, and thank you for bringing me in. My booth was very successful. The RX Muscle coverage was great, and it was good seeing everyone on the Great Northwest. And I know we have a lot of listeners, so thanks to everyone. I can't say everyone's name, but I had a great time hanging out with all you guys. Kyle, thanks for the sushi dinner. We had a great sushi lunch we had. We got to do that a little bit more often. And next week, we'll be in Orlando with Aaron Jabaka-Singerman, covering Ed and Betty Pariso's Orlando Pro. And that's going to be exciting. We've got a lot of action down there. And then the following weekend, we will be in Pittsburgh at Jim Mannion's show. We'll get the week off, and then, Aaron's going to be the next week in Louisiana, and then the week after that, we will be at the New York Pro and the Junior USA. So we got a lot of action coming up in the coming weeks. Stay tuned for the best coverage on rxmuscle.com. For now, though, I'd like to thank Nathan DeTracy for stopping by. Until next week, remember, with Heavy Muscle Radio, the truth hurts.
Heavy Muscle Radio is a presentation of rxmuscle.com, the truth in bodybuilding. Tune in next week at the same time for another round with Dave Palumbo only on Heavy Muscle Radio.